right, so. I won the money.
I couldn't help but keep doing that when we came home. And I did it so much that when... So that was at the end of October. And then when I went on tour with that metal band, I kept doing it so much that all those guys started doing it. And they still fucking message me that.
I won the money.
The money's mine.
It's mine. Isn't that weird though? It's like it happened at Spooker, oh. And then it just happened so much that then we wound up doing it, and fucking.
It's a normal part of our interaction. Now.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
On 1, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and we're live.
I forgot to hit record.
What'd you say?
Oh, I said I forgot to hit record.
Are you not recording?
he's definitely recording.
You've been recording this whole time.
I think so.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to start over then.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Shit.
And shut the back, dude. Same show, different studio, baby.
Yep.
I'm in my house right now. If you follow us on Instagram, I'm gonna post the Instagram story.
Yes, and it's my room exactly the way it was when I lived here.
vacant. So he's never here. He was always with his girlfriend.
Yeah, what could you do? And before that, I was always at shows.
Yeah, you were. Yeah, this was. I mean, that seems so long ago.
Yeah,
it's been a year. It's been a year since these. Dude. It is day 378 of Flatten the Curve. I always love that one. But now it's been about 4 months now since our show. I thought that would be a nice resurgence. What was it? Dude, it'd probably been longer than that with Tenet, and then something. Wonder Woman came out. And I thought that was like the resurgence of movies, but no, a fucking lizard and a monkey. Bring it back, you know. We're going to talk a lot about Godzilla. Everybody who listens to the show, big fans of Godzilla, is this guy right here. Me. I'm pointing at me. Please don't listen. So
we don't have video yet.
No video. But we're also, we're going to talk how much Godzilla versus Kong actually made during the theaters. We're going to talk about the repercussions of HBO Max, because, you know, that is the main factor in all this, because, you know, Disney has tried it, it's kind of failed, and somebody else. Who else has tried it? Not Netflix. Maybe Hulu? No, I think only Disney's done it, where they just, we'll release it for like 20 extra bucks, you know?
Yeah.
But we'll get to that later.
Can we before we jump into all the other stuff?
No, well, yeah, but I'm just talking about what we're going to talk about.
Okay, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
I know we want to jump into things. That's what we do.
Yeah, yeah.
Things have changed. We're in a new room. I got a fridge here.
Yeah. So, we got a fridge.
Fridge got a table.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So, but let's introduce ourselves again. We have the OGs. I got Matt Wallace here. You got Andrew Brown.
Hey guys,
founder of Ragged Cadavers.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a moment. Zach Bennett, say
hey,
hello.
Hey.
And Shane Scantling.
Hail.
Jesus Christ.
Did he just say Hail Hitler?
Just the first part. So just so everyone knows, Shane's black. He's allowed. Right now, and I could be wrong, black people are allowed to say and do whatever they want, correct?
100% correct. Thank you. 1,000% correct.
Just had to get that back going.
He is the average Joe. Of the movie shows.
Yes. No,
okay. He's the Supreme Joe of the average Joe movie show. Nah. So, Lexi has become part-time. So she's been in with the movie theater, Cinematique. The pandemic really kind of fucked them pretty hard. So I remember her saying that she wants to be a part of the show. She just had to take a more, she went for more money, you know, because she's got to live. You know, she can't just...
Yeah, they essentially what happened was, you know, there was very little hours for them there. So it was like either she was going to stay on full time and be the only person there 7 days a week or try and, you know, work out a better situation. So we're happy for our friend Lexi. She'll be back talking with us whenever she's available. But, you know,
Cinematique is still open. It's just at a very limited capacity at this time. So they got to really, you know, kind of claw themselves out.
You know, go support them any chance you can get it. Cinematique Theater in Daytona Beach.
Cinematique.org.
.org.
Yep. So, or we'll send a link on Instagram and or Facebook. And Facebook.org. So, but announcements beforehand. This show is sponsored by Drew's company. Why don't you tell us about it there, bud?
So, early stages. Started up a small shop. Just a little bit of an online business. I've been collecting horror enamel pins for a while now. I'm a fucking nerd. Nerded out. I probably have like 300 of them myself. I have an entire like 4-foot by 3-foot wall in my bedroom covered with them. So I thought, I like drawing, you know, I that's one of my hobbies. Why not try to create my own pins, you know? So I created my first one a few weeks back and it has been fairly successful thanks to 99% thanks to only friends and family, nobody else whatsoever. With the exception of like one girl up in Connecticut that's a big Hellraiser fan. Thank you if you ever listen to this for buying my pin. But I have a couple other ones that are coming out on the horizon. This coming Friday, I'm going to release my Army of Darkness two-headed Ash enamel pin. Turned out really good from what I'm seeing of the production photos. I just got to, when they arrive, do an inspection before I list them on the site. And then I'm thinking the week after that, I'll be able to release my third pin. And I'm just going to just see where it goes. You know, right now I'm doing it for the fun of it.
Where can we find these pins? Where can we buy them?
So the company, as Matt said, is Ragged Cadavers. So I you can find it on Instagram.
No underscores, no nothing, just Ragged.
It's actually Ragged _Cadavers is what it is on Instagram. No Facebook or anything like that. But then I am going through Big Cartel because they're a cool-ass company, unlike Etsy, who charges a shitload of money and takes a big cut.
Fuck you,
Big
Etsy.
Cartel, you can actually literally up to 5 products you can sell for free on there. I opted for the next option up where I pay a meager $9.99 a month because I needed inventory tracking and stuff like that because I'd be a fucking disaster trying to deal with all that shit myself. But anyway, Ragged Cadavers has its own Big Cartel page, so it's raggedcadavers.bigcartel.com if you want to check it out. Right now, there's only one product on there. Next week, there will be 2. The week after that, there will be 3, and I'm just going to keep it going. The next pin I'm making is going to be fucking legit. The fourth one in line that's in progress right now.
So hell yeah.
Check it out.
Hell yes.
I like how we...
or you can message... If you can't find it for some reason, just message one of the average Joes.
Yeah, we'll put you in contact.
We'll send you the right way.
Yeah.
We know a guy. Yeah, I think it's funny that both of us created these like small companies with these like fucked up names.
Yeah.
I got a call from the IRS the other day. They're like, "Are you the owner of Immaculate Trash?" I'm like, yeah. And like, "You didn't file any taxes." I was like, "That is correct." That's for another time. Man. But anyway, that's all worked out. But anyway, yeah. That's
Are you still running that business?
I mean, no.
Okay. Well, yes, IRS, we are not running this.
Well, it turns out to run a company, you need money. And you need capital. And
I have neither of those.
Yeah. So. Yeah, really what we were doing was, you know, we had bought the shit to make the shirts for the comedy shows. And then, you know, we started trying to do it with other stuff. But ultimately, it was like, you know, do you have the time and money to pour into a business nonstop? And I was like, no. So I talked to people at the IRS, and they're like, yeah, you can just fire it back up whenever you want. Suspend it for now so we don't fine you. And I was like, great. Thank you.
So what was your expectation, though? Did you was that just like you weren't even thinking about it? Like you weren't really involved lately? So it just kind of came out of nowhere? Or you were hoping nothing came of it? Hoping for the best.
Part of me was hoping like, nothing would come of it, but the other part of me was like, I just wanted to...
I think you didn't expect them to approach you like that, though. Like so like immediate, like we're like right during tax season there, the IRS was going to crack down on you for a tiny little t-shirt operation.
Yeah, it was actually super helpful. They were like, it was like the only time with the IRS I've ever had like an IRS thing be like, oh, that's dope. Like she literally called, she's like, your file? I was like, no. And she was like, all right. And she helped me out with everything. And then she goes, you want to keep the business running? And I was like, not right now. I don't have any money. And she goes, all right, we'll suspend it so you don't have to worry about it. I was like, okay. Like, it was the nicest interaction. It was like outside of everything you've ever heard about them.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, that works out. So shout out to Cynthia from the IRS. she's dope. I love you. And thanks for making me not have to go to jail or something.
Now, what happens if you want to?
Yeah, I went on irs.gov and gave him 5 stars.
All zeros.
I still give him 0 stars.
I was like, Cynthia's the shit, bro. No, yeah.
What if you want to unsuspend it, though, now? Do you have to pay back taxes or something like that?
No.
Or like, you're just like, you have a clean slate. So why don't you just do that every year then? Like,
yeah, she was great. She was just like, you want to restart. It was because it was so new. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But she was like, yeah, if you want to restart it, you know.
They're such a fucking mess right now, dude. The IRS, like, they're she was like, this is like the smallest thing on my agenda right now. Yeah. Can we please get off the phone?
Like, she was literally like, hey, I can just, I can just press this button and everything straight. I was like, yes, do that. That sounds great. Whatever isn't me going to prison. Thank you. But no, I want to get back into it eventually. But yeah. I mean, honestly, right now, it's like it just wouldn't make any sense because it's all everything you do, everything you do, you're taking in the money, pushing it back out. It's like what we do with the podcast and with, what you got to do with pins. Like if you're not going to be able to do that, then why? Because I could keep it going. Just be like, hey, let's, here's a new shirt. And then hopefully it's just not worth the time right now. I'll get back into it. But
for me to really like make money, like the best thing I could do is have more pins made is the
right,
thing.
Exactly.
The more you make, the more you drive down the cost per individual item.
Right.
So I had 75 made the first time. I've sold 25 and I'm fucking stoked on that. So I just have a box of 50 pins sitting at home, and now I'm going to have another box of 50 and another box of 50. And it's like, I live in a little apartment. And it's like, yeah, I could have 1,000 of them made and pay like 40 cents a pin or some shit. Like really drive the price down. But then I'm just going to get overwhelmed. Like I'm going to be cluttered up with pins everywhere I look, It's,
so
it's
right
like,
now
it's, I got to keep it real small for now and just not plan on making any money and just do it as a passion, as a hobby, It is.
So right now, don't buy Average Joe merch because we don't have it. Don't buy Immaculate Trash stuff. Buy these fucking pins.
Buy pins.
I'd like to actually, maybe we can make like an Average Joe pin. That'd be pretty cool.
That'd be great. I've seen your ideas. I like them all. So. Yeah. But yeah, Immaculate Trash, rest in peace.
It's in a coma. I'll be back.
For now, officially, if the IRS officials are listening.
Right now.
Rest in peace.
Yeah.
Speaking of rest in peace. Well, what a segue.
Oh, speaking of the IRS, I'll be back on stage next month. I don't know what that has to do with the IRS.
They don't get the money they want to take from me?
Yeah, they don't get any of my comedy money.
You're coming back.
Yep, I'll be back on stage next month, so we'll have show dates coming out for you guys on the next show, I guess, probably by then. Getting vaxxed up next week, probably, so I can not have to worry about it for traveling and everything, and, different places, different rules and all that, so, yeah, so.
Are you touring it?
Not right away. I don't even know. Like, can I do comedy? Who knows? I don't know. We'll find out. I'm going to go back to it. I can't imagine saying.
Shane thinks you're funny. Just take him.
Yeah, he's funny looking.
Ayo.
Got me.
Got him.
I'm going to take your spot on the stage.
Dude, how funny would it be if Shane just went and did all my material?
Better when he says it. I like it. All right. Well, that's good. Well, we got lots of, it's a good catch up. Yeah. All right, the show's over. See you next time.
Let's drink some beer.
Yeah, we're going to drink.
Now cheers. The show's over. We're going to continue doing what we were doing, drinking beer.
Exactly. Nope. Sad news out of the music world, DMX.
What?
Rest in peace, bud.
Yep, RIP DMX.
Yeah. I was saddened to hear that he was in a coma. That's when I was kind of like, I knew that it wasn't great outlook for him, but you always hope for the best in those circumstances. But I hope he's done suffering whatever, you know, he was going through. And I've heard conflicting stories that, you know, that he died from a heart attack. Some people say an OD, whatever. You know, whatever the case is, like, well, he's not in pain anymore. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know,
I mean, that good. Dude lived a sincerely difficult life. I mean, he was, like, from the age of, like, 7 until he was an adult, was in and out of institutions.
So he was 50.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, throughout most of his adult life as well. But, like, I mean, he went through more shit than most people could even imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also another thing, fuck literally everybody coming after DMX for lyrics. It's so funny. They're like, DMX said some pretty offensive things. I'm like, he talked about murder too. You had no problem with the murder? Like, they're like, well, the murder was hyperbole, but the rest wasn't. It's like, shut the fuck up.
He had no room for homo thugs. You know?
he said some things that obviously like most people wouldn't condone, but like, but also you got to put it in context. Like he's a legit, like, from the streets thug dude, went to prison many times. Like, if he didn't say the things he said, it would have been weirder. Could you imagine DMX being like, what? He's like, what? My cousin's cool even though he got... And like, you just be like, this is not... Like, this isn't DMX. He's like, what? I'm down with trans! You're like, that's not... It'd be cool if he was. He wasn't. Who really gives a shit? Nobody, yeah. You know...
He made good music. He was good.
You gotta remember, too, it was a different time. Like, I mean, yeah. It was only 2000, which was 20 years ago, but like...
Doesn't matter, man. Hip hop's all about rap's all about being politically correct. That's what you gotta be. You gotta right, be. Yeah. Like,
you know, that's what it is.
Yeah, let's crack down on him posthumously after his death, and let's start really like picking apart his lyrics now.
Yeah,
let's tarnish his name right now. Like, you know, fuck it.
One thing that trips me out though is like the I think it's because we're in America, but like DMX was way more popular than Prince Philip's death was. Right, it was the same day. Like I was like, man, like I saw one thing about it, and I saw all kinds of shit about DMX. I'm like, well, that's probably because we're in America. But yeah. Still, like that's seems pretty profound. Like
I think
we should talk about that too.
Like, yeah, I think DMX is a great nexus point for woke culture. Hip hop culture, black culture, American culture. Like, it's this great nexus point where everybody can kind of go, like, just because he said these things doesn't mean we shouldn't mourn him. And if you feel that way, it doesn't mean that you, like, it doesn't take away from the person that he was. It doesn't mean you have to condone it. You don't gotta, like, I love DMX. I hate that he said that stuff. I was raised by two gay women. You know what I mean, I never once was like, DMX is great and here's why.
He speaks
and
then, to me.
Like, yeah, like, like I understood.
He makes 100 good music, you know. I mean, I wouldn't say, you know, politically correct, but I'm interrupting you.
Well, you apply the context of who he was as a person, you know, and like, you know, doesn't mean that it takes away anything, you know. So I think that it's a great point where everybody can kind of maybe have to check themselves, you know, and like kind of reel themselves in. Like, my girlfriend made a great point. One of her friends reposted somebody's bullshit about that. Like, look at this lyric he said. And again, it wasn't about the murder or anything. No. It was like, you know, something about like, it's like, look at this. It's about assault. And she's like, this person I know listens to Tyler, the Creator. Like, it's like he said,
it's like going after male shit. Like, it's like going after Marilyn Manson. Like, really?
Punk school.
Like, you get it? I was like, he's Marilyn Manson. Like,
yeah, it's called hyperbole.
Like, yeah. Like, Jesus, we know that he, we're never shocked by the fact of what he probably thinks or wants. What was one of the things that Marilyn Manson said? It was like, I'm going to chop your head off and fuck your skull or something like that. I'm like, yes. I mean, I in my head, I'm like, I can see him saying
if
that.
If that's something it's we're going to start doing is just like just downing on people, the past musicians that pass away, 95% of everything I listen to, all punk music, all metal, everything, like every person that I love in music is going to get so fucking hated on, dude. Like, it's so bad.
Yeah,
have you really like read, really listened to Misfits lyrics, like some of Glenn Danzig's writing? Like, it is some fucked up shit, dude. And they're my favorite band of all time.
Killed Your Baby Today.
Dude, yes. I've been on a Misfits kick hardcore. And
I
just like,
love it.
And it makes me want to like, like, hey, has anybody got any good Misfits songs that aren't about killing women? Is it?
That got me good.
But it really is like you understand that it's hyperbole. It's like those guys were out there. I think there does become a point where something that someone says and does you could say, okay, well, this person is actively pushing negative things culturally.
Like an activist of sorts, like, of how he's saying.
Like,
you know?
Like David Duke, like former leader of the KKK, or maybe still is, who fucking knows. But like,
I'm good to be ignorant on that. I don't know that dude.
Right. But like, that's an example of someone who, like, that's what they're about and what they do. And there's like, there's levels to say that DMX is somehow, you know, advocating for. So he's not advocating for anything. He's just being
being himself. And if people want to listen to it, that's fine. Yeah. People didn't, you know, that was fine to him too. You know, that's, you know, like, if he's not actually going off. I mean, yeah, he did threaten to kill a bunch of people. but that's their problem.
But I mean, know, who hasn't done that from time to time?
I don't remember how that being my problem, you know?
But if you go back historically, like, DMX was never, like, it wasn't like Matthew Shepard died from getting dragged behind a truck because he was gay, and the DMX was like, came out with a song called Good. Like, it just didn't happen. Like, historically, it's just not like that. Like, and also, like, there's a really funny video that it's like the 20 gayest things in hip hop, and it's like all like
that things. Whole song that he and, had.
Like, 10 of them are DMX being like, "Suck my dick, motherfucker." There's a line where he says, "You can suck my dick while he's holding it," and you're like, "Yeah,
that's the same one, baby."
But it's that jail shit. It's prison culture that like he was a part of, and then he brought that into his music, and it's like. It's uncomfortable. No, people don't want to deal with it. But like,
whoop that trick, you know. That's where that. I'm almost certain that's like, you know, him. His life, you know, whoop that trick.
The best thing about that was 3-6 Mafia winning an Oscar. Yeah. The best.
Was it from that song?
Yeah.
Oh, it was my from, God. It was not from not that, Hard Out Here for a Pimp.
It was from the soundtrack. I don't think it was the song itself. It was the full soundtrack.
Yeah. Hard Out Here for a Pimp, man. I like that.
So good.
Like that.
Have you guys seen Cradle to the Grave?
Yeah, I
fucking love that movie.
It's been a while. I remember I was just on a Jet Li kick. Like, my favorite movie from Jet Li is always The One. It will be The One.
Yeah, then
Papa Roach starts playing.
Dude, I skipped school and went to see that in a movie theater. And I remember it was like the first time I skipped school like with a car. I had never done it with a car before. Like, it was just, you know, because when you do it when you're younger, you just kind of like skip school and then like, you know,
just
where you can go.
In the bushes until they're gone.
But like, so I skipped school and I drove my car to a movie theater and I just walked in like, oh, dude, I must have looked so goofy at 16. Just like, I had like a button up on. I was like, I'm here to see a movie. And I went in and I saw
see
it.
The One.
And then the only person to come in and watch that movie with me was a cop. It was, like, I don't know if he was just waiting to start his shift or what, but I was sitting on one side and he came in and he sat on the other side and we both sat there quietly, watched the movie, got up and walked out. I was like, that was close. He probably didn't even give a shit that I was there.
Just watching you. I mean, it always sucks when people die. And it's kind of, you know, I wouldn't call it humbling, I guess, reality check, you know, be the best thing. Yeah, we're not gonna live forever, man. You know, I mean, he's a legend in the hip hop world. You know, I don't think he'll ever, you know, a lot of people kind of. I didn't know it was like that level where, like, yeah. Uh-huh. After DMX, that's who I like. You know, I'm like, well, and us growing up in that, it just like makes me think, like, damn. We getting old, you know?
I remember seeing that, I mean, they're already sharing it right now, and I'm glad they do, because it, you know, it says, like, the caption's like, it cannot be understated just how powerful DMX was as a presence in the late 90s, like him, and it was him at Woodstock and them having a circle pit. Like, there's a circle pit while DMX is rapping. Like, it's fucking...
show where it was, like, million people there?
Woodstock 99.
Like, fucking massive show.
Which they had to shut down because everything got set on fire, and that was a problem.
Yeah.
Limp Bizkit played Break Stuff, and everybody lost their minds. But it really was insane.
DMX. Y'all gonna make me lose my mind and then break stuff. I'm like, wow.
But yeah, I mean, like a true, like, but before social media, before there was anything to really, and he was never shy about any of that stuff. Like, it was after everybody had kind of gangster rap had kind of fallen off a little bit because it had become, like, with everybody dying and shit, everybody was kind of like, fuck, I don't know. And like, And Ja Rule was out, so everybody was kind of like, is this the new thing? Like, it's going to be Puff just Ja Rule? Daddy. And then, like, you hadn't really heard much from him either, you know? And then, you know, Eminem had come out. Everybody's like, okay, this is cool. This is a new thing. And then DMX came out. It's just like, he's like, the streets are back. And you're like, oh, fuck, okay. I'm so sorry. Like, he was just a real dude. And he was a force.
Like, he was beloved, man. Yeah. Like, you can tell, like, by the outcome.
Somebody had to take the mantle, you know? They had to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like when Biggie and Tupac died, I'm like, you think fucking Puff Daddy is going to be that? Like, he's singing fucking Cashmere fucking remix on a Godzilla fucking remix. Get the fuck out of here. I fucking, you know, if I ever meet P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, Diddy, whatever the fuck your name is, I'm going to punch you in the face. Like, I fucking hate you. I fucking hate you. Like, you're the biggest bitch of all time. Like,
there goes our sponsor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, our Diddy sponsor. Yeah, why don't you go fuck off somewhere, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the only other person really for that long of a time was, like, Busta Rhymes has always just been around. But there's a great video that Busta Rhymes shared of, like, the times that him and DMX hung out and, like, just really great, like, history of... But the history of hip-hop is the history of... It's like American history now. It's like American culture. Like, that's... Yeah. And that's... And DMX is.
I'm glad it came from like, you know, United States. You know, I feel like it has. I don't know.
Yeah,
I feel like it says it would.
Blues, jazz, punk rock, and hip hop are all uniquely American.
You know when America was great? When that shit came out. Fuck you.
Yeah, during the slave times.
Yeah. Fuck slaves, bro. You know, I'm just saying. No.
I think what he means is fuck slavery.
Did I say that?
You said fuck slaves.
Oh, yeah. Did I say it like that? Oh, okay. Whatever.
Matt doesn't always hear the words the way he means them when he says them.
I said, you know, it came out all right.
Transition.
Nah. Nah, I fucked that up.
Dude, imagine if that was one of the live shows. I'm like trying to explain it at a live show. Bow! It's all our friends and family. They're still booing.
What'd I say?
It's like, no, listen, you just don't know Matt like we do. let me explain the mind of Matthew Wallace to you.
Shane's like easing
him. Ah, fuck it, kill him.
It's all yours.
I'm here to tell you that Shane I fucked just up.
Quietly takes his headphones off.
He just jumps out the window. I'm like, where'd he go?
I just have to take a picture of you with your AR-15 and your AK and just put fuck slaves on the bottom. Of
the you meme him.
Oh, with quotations, Matt Wallace underneath.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God, dude. Just blast it all over social media.
I don't think it would take long for it to go viral.
No. It's for the wrong reasons, I'm sure.
This would be my
all of a sudden, CNN's calling me. I'm talking to Don Lemon. I'm like, who the fuck is wrong with you? Like, I don't know what I'm doing anymore.
This would be my Shane Gillis moment, the guy that they fired from SNL for all his old podcasts. They'd be like, he was on a podcast with a known racist.
Yeah, like, fuck.
Yeah, oops. That's the wrong kind of publicity right there. You get hate mail, dude.
No. See, everybody
makes fun of
I just get hate mail from Shane. Like, listen, motherfucker.
Everybody makes fun of how low-rated podcasts are, you know, like, oh, you have a lot of listeners. Well, guess what? We're not in trouble either.
Fuck you.
And then we become famous and they pull up that one episode we did in the closet. And remember, just like,
what
oh.
was, we talked about like pedophilia one time. I'm like, whoa, bro.
That was another one of those.
That
like,
was in regards to the episode, wasn't it? The
yeah.
Cuties episode yeah. or whatever. But yeah, we did delve pretty and we probably made some jokes that were like, really in poor taste. Really, really in poor
taste. But Cuties was another one of those things where it was just another American panic. Like, it was literally, it was just like the thing with like that the satanic panic of the 80s. It's all these people getting swept up in a movement when really, as we talked about and discussed on the show, like, the movie was not intended for that purpose, and Netflix would have never have been like, oh, dope, let's put this out.
Yeah,
like,
no. Things without context, you know.
Yep.
So, wow. All right.
We're back.
Oh, we reeled it in. We got off to crazy. You know, some things never change, do they? So, all right. Have you guys seen any movies lately? Have you guys seen any fucking movies?
Two nights in a row. Shrek 1, Shrek 2.
I hear they put it on Netflix. Is that right?
They did, but only in the UK. So
fuckers.
They tricked us. No, but it's on Hulu. So.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Hulu.
Until they,
and you know, I You done over there?
That's so funny. We
fuck you, Matt.
We drag a man who's allergic to cats into a house with three of them, and then he blows his nose, and we're like, hey!
Jesus! What the fuck is wrong with you, dude?
You mind just dying over there? Because we're recording.
Oh, yeah.
No. Shane's like, oh, I'm sorry. Cats! Allergic to cats!
I don't even know what I was.
Shrek 1 and 2. I
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Somebody once told me.
So
that was my favorite song in the third grade.
I had fucking loved Shrek. So I actually watched it pretty recently, too, on Hulu. I'm just like, man, this is funny.
Funny is my girlfriend and our roommate are both 26. So they grew up listening. And watching the, you remember, like, kids just watch movies that they like watch over and over again. Mm-hmm. And like, there's movies like from our past when we were kids that we know every word to.
Oh, yeah.
And like, that, but that's what that is to them. But I was an adult. Like, when Shrek 2 came out, I was at the video store. Yeah. And we had to show it all the time. So I remember some of that stuff. But I'm watching it with them. They're doing every single word. And I'm like, it's almost creepy. It's like scary. You're like, oh my God, how do you know all the words? But then you're like, oh, you watched it as a kid nonstop. But yeah, Shrek 1.
It'd be the same if we were watching like fucking Billy Madison. That's a, like, if you really think about it, that's a weird ass movie. They're like, like somebody would probably look at you like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? Like, what are we watching right now? This is some creepy shit, you know?
Dude, the best was when Carl watched, when we watched Anchorman. And Carl was doing every word to Anchorman.
Oh my, I was like, I don't think I've seen it either. And Carl just says every word. I'm just like, I'm glad Carl is acting in this movie. It's the worst.
Literal fight almost broke out because he's.
I love the idea of like, I know this isn't how it went down, but I imagine Carl just sitting there like completely robotic, just reciting every single line from the whole thing. Just like literally just spot on timing.
Would you like to go to a party in my pants?
Brett killed a guy with a trident.
Just a trident, no inflection. I
mean. A trident. I love lamp. I love carpet.
But yeah, one in
that was their movie.
Yeah, that's what they grew up watching it when they were kids, so they just had it like memorized. And but yeah, I forgot. Like, there's a lot of humor. It's like SpongeBob level of like adult humor.
Yeah,
woven into that. Like, but yeah, it was cool to watch them again. Honestly, like, and because you know everything becomes like a parody of itself over the years. You know, mm-hmm. And you're just like. Now it's just like, if you say Shrek, you're like, all right, what's the band? Smash Mouth. And you're like, okay. And that's the other thing I told him. I said, hey, I know everybody makes fun of Smash Mouth now, and you might not know this, but I was like a teenager when that came out. Everybody loved that song.
I loved that song.
Everybody loved that song. Nobody, yeah. Very few people didn't like it. Just like Nickelback's first song.
It was on like the very first Now That's What I Call Music or something, or one of the first ones or whatever. Yeah. And I was like, this is my shit.
Nickelback's first song was the same way. Everybody's like, oh, Nickelback, everybody.
Same thing with Creed. Yep. Everybody loved Creed.
Like all
everybody
these
was Creed fans.
These were cultural phenomenons that everybody turncoated on. And look, we can all say it's not good now, but like, you don't got to be a dickhead about it. Like, it's not good in hindsight. Like to have, there's no reason to have a DJ in that song. It's like
we came to our senses.
In our favor, we were listening to good music at the time too. Like in third grade, I was listening to fucking Korn and Rob Zombie and like just shit I still listen to. You know? Like I was listening to Metallica in the third grade. Like you know, I wasn't only listening to shit music. You know.
I'm good.
You good?
Yeah, we got a little pizza coming back. Right.
That's good. That's good pizza.
It's good pizza.
Yeah. So I told you I wasn't going
to
be five
good,
star.
I brought it even back to have it again.
No. I would like to try that a second time. Is that all you've really watched? Like any?
What if that's all I've watched
on a loop?
4 months. Every night, Shrek 1 and 2. It's great. obviously had to watch all the new Marvel stuff out. Seen all caught up on Falcon and Winter Soldier. So
dude, that shit is good.
Everyone is
Kurt Russell's son's in it. Mm-hmm. What's his name? Wyatt Russell.
Wyatt Russell. Yeah. Everybody is. Everybody's retarded.
Got his fucking interest now.
There are a bunch of people who are upset that the actor isn't playing it like Captain America, which is the point because it's not supposed to be the same person. You dumb dick assholes. They're like, that's not what Captain America would do, and that's the point.
You're supposed to hate this fool.
Yeah, he's supposed to be the Captain America gone wrong. Blah blah blah. Anyway, but it's a great show. WandaVision is fucking.
That was really good.
It is.
It was way different.
Yeah, way different. But once you get past the first couple episodes and they start to really get into it.
Yeah,
I had it up. I was gonna throw it on after we had finished The Handmaid's Tale, and then I watched the trailer for it. And the trailer was just like super not impressive. Like nothing about it hooked me. The only thing that like really makes me interested in seeing it is just like the all the publicity, like how much people are raving about it. But like, I hate to say that the trailer completely swayed me, but I just wasn't in the mood for like the way the trailer made it look.
I thought the trailer looked awesome.
Really?
Well, the unfortunate part about the original trailer is that because Disney's putting it out and it's their first thing coming off the MCU film universe. What they probably should have done is focus a little more on where the show was going and not how it starts. And how the show starts was the original trailer is showing that kind of stuff. And it's unfortunate because then it leads people to believe that it's just going to be like this goofy, like fun
sitcom. Exactly. Right. That's exactly what the trailer
which
was
it's
like.
Not,
yeah.
Which is not at all. Also, anybody with any kind of understanding of culture of film and television, which is what you'll love about
it. Yeah,
yeah. The way that they do, I don't think it's just blowing it to explain this part, but it's incredible how every episode up until the last couple, every episode goes by TV decade. So the first episode they're in the 50s, and the second episode they're in the 60s, and it's all modeled after a specific TV show. So like the 90s one is literally,
are you fucking kidding me?
Dude, it's so good.
I mean, just back to back to back to back.
Yeah.
So every episode is a new.
Yeah, that's fucked up. Hey, you fucked up. They had like a Malcolm in the Middle
Malcolm
one.
Malcolm in the Middle is the.
Well, no, I'm already hooked on the 90s one because all I've listened to for 3 weeks straight is Alice in Chains. well, a little bit of Nirvana, a little bit of Pearl Jam, a few other things, but I've listened to pretty much Alice in Chains for 3 weeks. Yeah, it's been a very bleak 3 weeks for me, we'll say.
Somebody asked me why I don't like grunge. I was like, it really doesn't get me hyped.
I'm very much in a 90s mindset, so I might just skip to that episode.
My friend Heather Shaw, who recently became TikTok famous for being able to do great impressions of Jim Carrey. It's crazy.
That was her?
Yeah, she's a friend of mine. It's so weird to have people sending me a friend of mine, and they're like, did you see this? And she's got like a million views. I'm like, yeah, I know her. I'm used to this. But anyway, so she wrote a great joke the other day where she said, you ever think Eddie Vedder looks at his cum after he jerks off and goes, hey, Pearl Jam.
man.
So shout out to her for that great joke.
I like it.
Yeah, very funny comic. Follow her stuff.
Shout out to him for being the only one not dead.
Oh, like, yeah, good job.
Everybody else is.
Well, their original lead singer died, though, so it's not that impressive. Yeah. You're still the same. And now if the second one died, you'd be like, these guys are now the winners.
Two of them. Yeah, it was like pouring down rain today. Me and Allie are driving, and we're just like, it's just so gloomy outside. I'm just brooding, and they play like fucking Nirvana, Alice in Chains, and Soundgarden back to back. I'm like, we're just listening to just death depression, in the gloom right now. Like people that died of overdoses and suicide. Yep. Like it's the 90s were really bleak, man. Yes. Like the music was bleak, and the outcomes of the people were bleak. You know,
I tried explaining to some younger people, you will never understand the freedom in thinking that everything's done. Like in thinking like the 90s was the best because it really was just complete, like it doesn't matter. We lost, like, it's
nihilistic.
Over. Yeah, it's very nihilistic, but it also there's a freedom.
It's exhausting.
That, yeah. Well, that's it wasn't, because you're just sort of like, that's it. You're like, Wu-Tang's great. DMX is ready to, like, everybody's just ready to fight. Everybody was sad. The early to mid 90s, everybody was sad. And in the late 90s, everybody's ready to fight. Mm-hmm. And then 9/11 happened. Everybody's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know. Chingy? Chingy? I guess we're bringing out Chingy.
Yeah. Chameleon.
Like, well, you do it right there. And you're like, yeah, fine.
I get hyped for that.
Yeah, we had Lil Jon and all them.
Yeah, that's all it was. Just like he's like, everything's great. Usher's like, yeah, you're in love. Everything's great. Nothing's wrong. We're like, the towers blew up. We're like, everything's fine. Just dance.
Just go to the club.
Then Lady Gaga saved us all. Just dance.
Point is, I'll watch WandaVision because there's a 90s episode.
Yes.
That's
my
like
primary
show.
Reason for
watching. You'll like the retro aspect of it all, like the honeymooners, like in the older ones. The 80s and 70s episode are both like just the way that they did the set. And they actually brought in live audiences for the early ones because they're based on sitcoms. So they had them actually in the audience for the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. They had a live audience that they brought in. And they had them the exact same chairs. I watched like the making of WandaVision, and they had someone make sure that each decade, like the people felt like they were in the decade. Wow. So they made them sit in like wooden chairs to watch the show, and they had the same
applause. Oh, I thought it was like just laugh tracked.
They got it. They got the signs out of like the storage and all that shit from the old shows and like put it up in there for the audience.
That sounds so sick.
Damn. Dude, the level of detail they put in is so fucking sick. Incredible.
I mean, when you're Disney. The MCU, you can pretty much do whatever you want.
Yeah. Pretty much unlimited budget.
Yeah, Disney's like, do whatever you want, just make us a boatload.
Wow. I'm like, haven't I been doing that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you put Disney on it, it makes a boatload. It just doesn't matter.
So yeah, I watched all that stuff. That was great. I watched the Q Into the Storm, which was an incredible series on this dude trying to find out who's running the QAnon account, and it's pretty incredible. So watch that because it exposes a lot of the bullshit in that. I won't get too much into it. It's a really good insight into, and the guy doesn't make it super political either. He doesn't like try to attack from left versus right kind of thing. He's just like, hey,
that's good.
This is fucking crazy. Let's try to figure out who's running these accounts. So that's really cool. Did we talk about Wonder Woman? I saw Wonder Woman.
Yeah, that movie is immaculate. It's not immaculate.
I felt
just trash.
I felt like
just trash.
It's not immaculate trash. It's
actually,
just trash.
I have an Etsy review that says that. But yeah, it would have been fine if it came out in the 80s. Like, and I think that's kind of where they were going with some of it was like, hey, let's make it kind of have that feel. But the problem is that you're like, it didn't match up with the other stuff that DC was doing. And so what Marvel did, you know, was make sure that everything flows and you want it to all kind of have that. Even with different directors and writers, everything kind of has the same feel and the same tone.
Patty Jenkins directed the movie, didn't she?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. You can't blame them because that's not like classically a thing. Like releasing movies like it's a game of chess or something. Like it's all strategic, and you're thinking 5-7 years down the road, like how all the puzzle pieces are gonna fit. Like it's like fuck, man. Like that's just overwhelming for me to even think about. Like especially with all of the all the pieces that are coming into the mix, you know, with studios and budgeting and all that kind of like I just can't even fucking imagine. So you're like, you can't hold that against them for not being as successful at that as the MCU universe, you know. But
the biggest thing was that it felt very much like one of those incidents with Kevin Smith talking about Wild Wild West and all that. Like, it definitely felt like you were watching a thing where somebody kind of pitched all these crazy ideas, and you're like, is any of this like the comic book? And they're like, it doesn't matter. It's entertaining. Like, they're very caught up in the story of it all and not. I mean, she does not do as much fighting as she should be doing. Like, it's a superhero movie, and like somebody came up with a bunch of good concepts and cool ideas, but that's like outside of the realm of her being Wonder Woman. So like, you really, you know. But on the other hand, watch Snyder Cut, and that is a fucking opus on how.
Don't tell that to Shane too loud.
Show the 2017 version and show the Snyder Cut, and it is a perfect representation of what can happen if you have the wrong person in charge of your cutting floor. If you had the wrong person, I mean, obviously it was a much more serious incident that happened with Zack Snyder, you know, with his daughter killing herself and everything. I mean, I mean, at that point, I mean, the least important thing in your life is how your movie turns out. You're just like, everything's fucked. But
yeah, your life is shattered.
But he shot 75% of the movie himself first,
like
right?
90%.
Yeah, I mean, very little was shot without him. Yeah. So not only did it, you know, it was also recut from how he was originally starting the cut with the editor. Like, everything was redone. And if you take... I mean, obviously it had problems. Like, Like, you can't, they were literally trying to compete with Marvel. Yeah. They're like trying to get him to do in one movie or in five movies or however many they did. They're like,
it is. Hey. It's like, yeah, getting into it, it's overwhelming almost. I'm 3 hours in. I'll be honest. I haven't watched the whole movie. I started watching it today. But it's essentially, I was talking to Allie because she was like doing other shit. I was like, it's kind of like getting into like the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Like, they really are cramming so much lore and so much backstory and so many individual side stories into one movie. It's insane.
It really felt like if they came to Peter Jackson, they were just like, hey, just make it one movie.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. It's just not possible. So they gave him a task that he was already going to be behind on, no matter what. They were already starting from behind whatever point that they expect him to be at.
Yeah.
So I think if you look at it as its own movie without expectations, it's a lot of it's really well shot, really well done. Some of it's overdone, like usual Zack Snyder stuff. I love it, and with as people involved in film, you know, we always like the artistry of what he does. But some of it is, you know, sometimes you're like, okay, well, you didn't have to. You don't need a 10-second cartwheel like in slow motion. We can just go to the next scene. It's fine.
Yeah,
but he's very masturbatory with his filmmaking at times.
I was like, all right, but, Orson Welles, let's get the fuck out of here. Next scene, please. Like,
but ultimately, you put up with it because it is so well done. You're like, well, you know,
it's definitely visually stunning.
I was like, as I was watching it, I was like, shit, man, is he the Christopher Nolan of superhero movies? Yeah. And I was like, wait, fucking Christopher Nolan made the Dark Knight trilogy. I was like, he's comparable, man. Like, because that thought popped into my head. And then I was like, wait, Christopher Nolan made the best fucking Batman movies ever of all time. And so he's like, he's Zack Snyder's the shit, man. He's living up to... He's on Christopher Nolan's coattails right there.
Dude. Well, I mean, Christopher Nolan produced all of them.
Yeah, I saw his name as a producing credit.
Yeah, so, and you got... They made Zack Snyder not watch the 2017 version. It was like Christopher Nolan and Zack Snyder's wife, I forget her name, but she's also a producer on the movie. And there were like... what was it?
Writer as well.
Yeah, the writer as well. They all screened the 2017 Justice League, and they're like, we can't show this to Zach. We can't.
That sucks, man.
And he hasn't seen it. Baby. You know, like, and when you're done watching it, if you can mustard through, that's what I'm going to call it, because that's just how it is. Like, it's fucking... I'll
be
honest,
it's going to be tough for me to like backtrack now and go and watch that. That'd be tough. Bad. I probably
it's
won't.
So seen bad.
It's not worth it.
Yeah. It's fucking terrible.
Wow.
That's bad.
Like,
I legit was watching the Snyder Cut just trying to remember back to watching the other one, and I was just like, I hated it. It's irrecognizable. Like, it's literally the actors. You're like, oh, I remember them. Like, everything seems so far removed.
I think the only scene they used incomplete was the introduction of Flash and a little bit of when Superman comes back.
That scene was cool when Flash came in.
That was cool.
It filled so many gaps.
A lot of his scenes are cool, man. I don't know how far we're not worrying about spoilers.
If they haven't seen it,
I left off with the Superman. We'll leave it at that, you know.
Okay.
I guess I won't. I won't really. I have to.
Everybody
knows the resurrection of Superman.
Yeah.
The movies are all the same. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Steppenwolf definitely doesn't win. So you'll find
exactly.
It.
Well, when they finally bring Superman back from the dead, which is like a pretty fucking far fetched and strange the way it all goes down. But when the Flash is like, you know, he's like kind of arrogant. He's a young kid. He's like, nobody could. I'm just fucking untouchable when I'm at this speed. And Superman just kind of like gives him that sideways glance. Like, it just is completely just like slowly just watching him approach him. That was so sick, man. That was one of my favorite Flash moments right there. And like just the reaction, like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that side eye.
That look that he gave was like,
Yeah. You're gonna fucking die.
And then just the battle between the two of them is pretty fucking cool. Allie was watching at that point. She's like, wait, so Superman's going as fast as him? I was like, yeah.
No. It's just, it's, you know, the beginning scene of that movie when Steppenwolf fights the Amazonians, you're just like, you know, show them your fear. And then they're like, we have no fear. And I'm like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah, there's some good one, like brutal one-liners like that. Like, I'll fucking walk across their bones and feast on their fears. And just some gnarly, like, dark one-liners, you know.
Like, God damn, okay. Can you just say just kill them? You know, you don't have to go that far, but well, I mean, since we're here, I mean, this is the start of what ignited, you know, HBO Max into the realm of, like, even over, I think, Netflix, you know, because Netflix, HBO Max has been the number one downloaded app for the past month. Yeah, and it's not even close.
Yep. Well, naturally, it was going to be successful eventually. In the beginning, it really wasn't. You know, it was like it didn't take off, and I was a big part. Like many other people were in my situation, I didn't have HBO Max because it wasn't streaming on Hulu. That's how I fucking get. Roku. I mean, on Roku.
Right.
I have Roku. That's how I get all my apps, and I couldn't get it. I had no access whatsoever to HBO Max, so I just didn't participate until fairly recently.
Did it get it on Roku? I'm assuming
they have
it on
Roku
now.
Yeah.
But you know, when HBO Max and the WB did that whole thing, I thought it was a fucking, I was like, oh, movies are fucking over, bro. Like, it's nobody's going to go back to the goddamn theater. And little did I know, a fucking lizard and a fucking monkey come around. And it was, you know, Godzilla versus Kong wouldn't have been as big of a hit as it is now if it wasn't for the pandemic. The pandemic didn't happen. Just like just watched that whole year, and Godzilla vs. Kong came out. It would have been overridden by Black Widow. It would have been overridden by Top Gun that was coming out a few weeks later.
Yeah,
and it was in the summer movie block, and you know, not a lot of people were just like wanting to see it. Like, I mean, they weren't as pumped as I was, I felt like, but there were still fans of the lore that was just like, whatever. But then a year passes with no movies, and you're just like, well, you got Tenet, which didn't really do much. Like, it had $348 million during its run, which is, you know, it's not bad for a pandemic, you know, in October. And then Wonder Woman comes again, and then they only did $48 million or something. I think in its two-week run over Christmas. And then January 24th comes, and they drop that. They drop Godzilla vs. Kong is coming. HBO Max in March, right after Snyder Cut. And during the first 3 days of its drop trailer, 60 million views that got. I'm like, that's insane. You know, that was their highest.
Just for the trailer?
Yeah. Dune had that trailer dropped 4 weeks earlier, and it only had 30 million total. Total.
Mm-hmm. Dune is fairly niche.
But it's an amazing trailer. Like, if somebody was to show
that trailer, it's incredible. The best fucking trailer I've seen in a while.
Yeah, and you're just like, whoa, that looks good. Like, I haven't even seen the first Dune. And I know what it is, but I know the director is very, very, is one of my favorites. He did Blade Runner 2049 and Arrival. But Godzilla vs. Kong comes in. It says it's going to come. It's going to be the first movie pretty much to come out with the WB or the HBO Max in the theaters. I'm just like, well, we'll see how this is. I was going to see it in IMAX, and that's what I did. That's what me and Shane did. The weekend, you know, March 31st comes. We all watch it. I fucking loved it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know, I loved it, but I didn't love it as much as King of the Monsters for reasons I'll get into. But the first weekend, that's the first 5 day weekend, $285 million in the box office.
Wow.
In box office.
Worldwide. Awesome. It's not just in, it's not just the US. The worldwide box office, $285 million.
So
went to the theaters.
Did it get the pre release on HBO or did it get released to theaters immediately? No,
it was the same time.
Same day.
The exact same day.
So you could.
See, that's the key.
You could have went to.
Yeah. Initially, HBO was building its platform on the fact that they would release it on HBO Max first, right?
No, they said it the same day.
Okay, so it's always going to be the same day.
It was always the same day.
So as long as that's the case, the public, there's only so much you can do in life to go out and entertain yourself. So unless you really just want to be a hermit and live in COVID times and we're just going to fucking lock ourselves up in our house. Nobody wants to do that. There's a lot of people out there that want to get out. They want to have a date night. They want to participate in something. There's only limited options of what to do if you're living in like a city environment. People want to go to the fucking movies. As long as you don't release it on a platform first for a trial run for 7 days or 2 weeks or a month or whatever, then I think movie theaters are definitely going to stay alive, you know. But that'd be the nail in the coffin if HBO Max started making the demand, okay, well, we're going to do a trial run and then you can release it in theaters after that. You know, if they can like accumulate that much dominance to make that demand, that'll fucking kill movie theaters.
I think the key for Godzilla versus Kong also was the Snyder Cut, because the Snyder Cut came out like a week before, like 5 days before. And a lot of people signed up for HBO Max, the trial, just so they can get to watch the Snyder Cut.
Yeah.
So they watched that and then they got just, the Godzilla versus Kong and the hype just built on itself.
Just so you know that the only the number, the $285 million, it's only from the movie theater. It's not from it has crazy. Nothing to do with how many HBO.
That's insane.
That's crazy. So, yeah, they killed it.
HBO Max
is probably going crazy.
That's a normal number. That's like you said, that might be more than what it would have been. It would have had stiffer competition. Like,
well, it's also a good time with a lot of people starting to reopen with higher capacities or at all. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and every movie theater was only 50%.
Yep.
Yeah.
Every movie was 50%.
Fucking insane.
Well, and that was smart too to do what they did with Snyder Cut and that, because not only is that going to be, you're going to bring in the general cut. But also there's probably a lot of overlap audience wise between Snyder Cut and Godzilla.
Dude, so before you continue, they were trying to review bomb Godzilla versus Kong so they can restore the Snyderverse. That was a big campaign that they wanted to do. They went and fucking just botched because it was WB. They're like, you don't want more Godzilla movies. We want more of this. Yeah. Like, and now the WB is like at a crossroads. I mean, it's going to be crazy, like, you know, because Godzilla vs. Kong was essentially the fork in the road movie. Uh-huh. I was like, well, if this does well, we'll obviously try to make more movies. And the same thing with the Snyderverse. I was like, if you like this, maybe we'll make more movies. I don't fucking know.
You know, in a way, it could be the perfect setup for theatrical releases. It could just simply mean, let's say 30 days after the theatrical release, it's released to HBO Max or whatever it ends up being in the long run. All it means is people are going to rush out to theaters and see it, or even if it's the same day, they're going to see it more quickly. They're going to accumulate money more quickly because we're not spanning it over fucking, if it's a summer blockbuster, 3 months or something like that. Like, it's probably just not going to stay in theaters as long, or, you know, they're just going to be able to capitalize on it more quickly.
I was going to say, what was really smart that they did was the fact that they did that where it was Snyder Cut and then immediately, like, give enough time for the initial just impact of it, and then right when everybody's like, well, I'm not going to re-up this, right at the end of that trial period, they're, oh, hey, by the way, bam!
Yep.
And they did that. Disney, to their credit, did the same thing. I was ready to get rid of it after WandaVision because I got Disney Plus when I wanted to watch, I wanted to rewatch all the Star Wars stuff, and then I got it. I got rid of it because we basically just watched all the Star Wars stuff, and then I watched the Mandalorian season 1 and 2, and then I was like, okay, well, that's it. I don't really need Disney Plus for anything. You know, if I want it for something, I can always. You know, it's cheaper than renting a movie. You can just get it for $7.99. And then, so I got it back to watch WandaVision. And then right when I was like, all right, I don't really need WandaVision. And they're like, on the fucking thing where you go to cancel it, they're like, oh, by the way, before you cancel, next week,
this is coming
Falcon out. And Winter Soldier's coming out. It's like,
the next summer blockbuster is coming out.
Motherfuckers.
For no charge, other than your
regular.
You know, what we generally charge you, you know.
They got me.
June 11th is Loki.
It's
going to be good.
I'm utterly shocked.
That's really good, actually.
Theatrically, I am shocked that movie made that much money. I would never have guessed that if I was a gambling man, you know. But will it always be that way? when we're out of the pandemic and going to the movie theater is still, it becomes a commonplace thing again, you know? So now you got HBO Max releasing it, or you can go to the theater and see it the same day. Like, that's the setup. I still foresee a gradual decline over time. That's all there is to it. Right now, going to a movie theater is a huge novelty for people. You got to take that into account.
I think a net positive for the whole streaming and theater thing is that a lot of shit movies are going to get filtered out and put directly on streaming and not in the theater. And then you're going to have those blockbusters that are always going to go directly to theater. So
it's going to hurt independent cinema.
It'll probably hurt independent cinema, but I think the consumer will benefit a little bit from being able to pick and choose a little bit easier for theater versus streaming.
Yeah.
So that maybe they'll get exposure by going directly to stream as opposed to theater, too.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you're going up against the Avengers and you're, you know, Sally Mae and you're writing a love story, then it's...
Came out the same weekend. Absolutely not. Everybody's going to the Avengers.
And honestly, the independent market, there's really, I mean, you'll still have the smaller theaters like Cinematheque and what's our one in Maitland that we love?
Enzian.
Yeah, you'll still have Enzian and Cinematheque and cool places that you like to go. But, like, I think what might happen more is not as much money into like these big budget trash movies where it's just like they'll still do the kid ones, but there might not be like another Hitch where it's like, hey, let's go find, you know, I'm just using it as an example, but like, you know, there's plenty of movies like that where you're like, it's like barely a comedy. It's like barely written. They're just like, we got two famous people and they say words, so go watch it.
Yeah.
Like, so George Costanza. So the positives might be that it might incentivize them to push more funding into stuff that's going to go straight to streaming that is more artistic. So yeah, it might not go directly to theater, but you'll be able to get cooler content that isn't so studio controlled that goes right to you.
Yeah.
So it's unfortunate in that way, but it might make for more of whatever is in theater to be like, hey, like, we're not going to just, there's going to be kids movies and there's going to be fucking epic movies and then not a lot in between. I know that's not a great deal right now.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I don't think it'll be like the death of art or anything like that.
All the shit filler movies, because technically speaking, there's, you know, all 50 plus weeks of the year or whatever, a movie comes out.
Yeah,
whether it's a blockbuster, there's always a movie that comes out every single week that is theatrically released, whether even if it's just in New York and LA or whatever. But yeah, there's so much shit that you gotta filter through, you know. And yeah, I mean, if we're like, you know, if that's the situation, then yeah, we won't have to filter through the shit anymore. You know, we'll just kind of brass tacks go for like the good stuff.
Yeah. I'm honestly surprised. I think if the pandemic hadn't happened, I think the studios would have gone so hard that they would have gone like into like the fake woke thing there, where it would have been like, hey, let's Avengers crazy rich fill in the blank ethnicity here. Like, it would have been hilarious. They're like, crazy rich
universe.
Yeah, the crazy rich universe. It's the CR universe. Crazy rich, and then they're like, Yemenis. And everybody's like, see, and then somebody maybe slips in a little bit of political stuff. They're like, oh, we have so much money that we can't spend because we just keep getting bombed. Oh, these have the U.S. written all over it. That's so strange. Anyway, I know as if we were going to get political, I just felt like that was fun. I actually meant to say Kazakhstan, and I said Yemen. Sometimes.
I'll allow it.
Thank you.
Well, movie theaters don't seem to be going down without a fight, though.
No,
you know? They're going to do everything they can to keep the idea alive. It's not like next week there's going to be no Regal and AMC. It's just going to, like, the next projected thing is going to be HBO Max theaters. Like, you know, it's like, regardless,
will just have there's the still going to be
somewhere you can go other than your home to watch movies always.
Regal opened.
Yeah.
Yeah, in our lifetime, I don't foresee that. I think Regal's going to struggle a little bit, but like, I'm glad to see that they're open.
I can't believe they opened a week after Godzilla vs. Kong came out.
So fucking stupid.
Stupid. You fucking, Regal, you're stupid.
Mistake.
You had a good idea with your fucking Regal pass, and then you fucked it up by not becoming available when it came out.
Because I think they're going to struggle.
That sounds like a business that doesn't want to be a business much longer.
What will happen?
Missing the boat on these big...
What will happen more than likely will be that they're just going to find a way, like a lot of things, where the overhead is too costly, they're going to find a way to cut the human element of it out to where you literally just have like
Fandango is the only janitors. Option. Yeah, you have to yeah. go to the computer, the automated things.
Right.
There will be maybe like one person inside doing concessions. There has to be somebody doing concessions, right?
There'll be eventually no.
It'll just be self-serve.
Yeah. Eventually there'll be a robot who chokes you to death if you're in there without a ticket. And then there's robots making your popcorn, and then a human walking around because they're like, we don't want to subject the robots. Yeah, yep. Something like that.
They just need to figure out a way to fucking reliably fix those Coke freestyle machines. Because
he was sitting for like 10 fucking minutes.
Yeah, like one of them was
being fixed. At least we have reserved seats.
Yeah, they had two open at the Godzilla vs. Kong premiere. And
they obviously weren't ready.
And neither one of them had enough sauce or juice or whatever in there for people to get their fucking drink.
Sauce. I need more sauce.
I'm going to see Godzilla's Kong. It was sauce.
I'm telling you, it was. We went on, you know, because it came out March 31st. Mm-hmm. It was a Wednesday. We came. It was a 5:30 showing for IMAX, and we saw Tenet in IMAX as well the first day it opened. It might have been the second, but I have It's the little things, because when we went to the theater, we couldn't find a parking space. It was fucking amazing. How is this?
Oh, like hell yeah,
dude! And that was the only movie that was really playing was Godzilla versus Kong, and you just saw a bunch of like Godzilla versus Kong fans or Godzilla and Kong fans, you know. And we were asking the bartender. I was like, "When's the last time it's been this busy?" He was like, "A year ago." Like, it's never been this busy. Like, we're understaffed right now. And I was like, fuck yeah, dude. I just couldn't help but have a smile on my face just to see people at the movies wanting to watch this movie. And, you know, and honestly, the movie was really good. Like, it delivered what the title wanted, you know. Like, say what you want about
it,
like,
was Godzilla.
We haven't even talked about the movie. We just talked about the box office.
I just looked at the box office numbers. $367 million.
Jeez.
Complete, you know,
completely destroyed Tenet.
2 weeks. $348 million was their entire runtime. Was their entire tenure.
They were in movie theaters for like 6 months.
Tenet, though, is such an unfortunate situation, man.
I know.
That was such a bad time to release a movie. That was it, you know. The only thing they had in their favor was... That was it.
I don't think it would have been a smash either way.
There was no competition. No.
I mean, a lot of movies, you know, for me, I loved the movie, but overall consensus of the movie was they didn't like it. You know, a lot of people didn't like the movie.
It's not one of my favorites of Christopher Nolan's.
Yeah, and I'm just like, well, people were really scared. I get that, you know, the vaccine didn't come out, you know, but... Like, Godzilla vs. Kong just fucking made the best it could, because I really don't think I think people were kind of done with those movies at pre-pandemic. I was just like, you know, this movie is not going to do that well.
It's because of oversaturation, man.
Yeah, and it was just, there was just so many. Marvel was doing its thing, obviously. Top Gun was coming out. There was a bunch of good movies coming out this past year. It was going to be awesome. And... You know, it got all pushed back, and now I was just like, you know, how would you ever want to see Godzilla on a fucking small screen? You know, like, that was a big draw. I was like, do you want to watch Godzilla on a 50-inch television, or do you want to watch it on a fucking IMAX theater? You know, that was the question. And, you know, people, it won both ways. WB are fucking geniuses. So I thought that whole situation, I was like, this is fucking stupid. This is going to ruin fucking movie theaters. This is everybody's just going to stay at home. And, you know, the fact that it's thriving more than King of the Monsters did when movie theaters were 100% capacity, I was like, I can't unsee what's going on. You know, it's a hit. And
people ran out of shit to do, man. They needed something to go out and do, and fucking everybody went out and participated in this. Yeah. And you know, I said, like, you're gonna see a decline over time when it's not such a novelty going to movie theaters, but I don't think it's gonna happen quickly. Like, I'm talking like years. Like, right.
I was hoping,
you know, like, I think people are just gonna fucking want to go to the movies again.
It's, I'm hoping more movies do that. You know, now they're doing the Disney Plus thing. Like, Black Widow comes out on the same day as the comes on Disney Plus whenever it is. I think it's June now. I'm not sure.
Are people actually excited for that movie?
I don't know. It could have. They pushed it back so many times, but it doesn't look that good. You know, like we've seen like five trailers of it. I like Scarlett Johansson. I like Black Widow. It's just like, and honestly, I'm just like, eh.
I mean, I think now MCU's got such a massive following to where
doesn't matter.
It's going to take a while for anything to really do poorly. I think. I mean, no. You can't really think of anything that's been done poorly, can you? In the MCU universe, no. I mean, there's stuff that doesn't hit as hard as other stuff, but ultimately, you're like, yeah, it's all good.
Like, well, everything's gonna like pack some punch that hits theaters now. Yeah. Like you said, like nobody's gonna release Hitch like right now. Like exactly. That'd be fucking suicide. Like,
yeah.
Like the amount of money that's gonna cost to release something theatrically, exactly. Like it's gonna have to be something that packs some punch. Anything MCU does, you know, it's all there is to it, you know.
Yeah, I think like when you, I don't know, I guess Ant-Man would be the only thing that, it wasn't bad, it just, that's like my least favorite. Like, yeah.
Just, whoa! Ant-Man 2 is awesome. The first one's okay.
They're both well done. You know, that's just one of my least favorite characters from the MCU as all. Like, that's a preference thing, but like, yeah, movie-wise, it's fucking good. I mean, I'm sure it'll be good. It's not gonna be bad. Like,
yeah.
I can't really imagine them being like, you know what, 22 was fine. Let's go ahead and relax a little on this one, boys. I'm sure it'll be good. It just, I think they, with the pandemic hitting, they just put all their money into getting everybody psychologically on the track that they wanted them to be, which was for the shows that were coming out. So and again, they didn't know when they were going to release it. They had to keep pushing it back. So they're just like, yeah. We'll get to it. Like, they probably made so much money in subscriptions that they were just like, "Yeah, fuck it," you know. Yeah. So,
I'm trying to think of how many downloads HBO Max had in the past 2 weeks. Let's see if I can look that up.
It's actually a really good service too. Like, there's a lot of other things that I watch on there, like Cartoon Network stuff.
It's glitchy as fuck, though.
It is.
I've had a lot of issues with that.
I don't like when you back out of something and you try to start it up again, it just restarts.
Oh, yeah, I hate that.
That shit is...
Yep. I think I found a way around it. Like, you shouldn't have to find a way around it. Right. Like,
I mean, we're so spoiled by Netflix. I check the time marker every 10 seconds. That way, if anything happens...
I have to know exactly where the time marker is at, just in case.
We're spoiled by Netflix. Yeah. They've been around for a long time.
So. See, but that's what's so kinks, fucked up. Yeah. HBO Max has been around for a while, too, though. Like, it's literally just them being...
Not really.
Yeah. The actual, it as an app hasn't, but HBO having the service has been around for a while.
Because they had HBO Go, HBO Now, right. They have plenty of time. Fucking doing.
That's what I'm saying. They have plenty of time to work out these fucking kinks. There's no excuse to have Hulu, Netflix, Disney, everybody's got skip intro.
Your HBO, like, model it. Yeah. Find out what they're doing right.
Oh, yeah, the skip intro.
Let's not everybody's have a glitchy ass. It makes them look bad. I was like, I can't fucking everybody's believe got
skip intro.
This app is like this.
Disney put in skip credits for the Marvel stuff. If you watch the Marvel movies in there, you can skip credits to get to the end scenes.
Actually, I don't know. It's been a while since I've been on Disney Plus, but they were kind of had issues, too, when I first got Disney Plus. That was the first app that I was, like, really surprised at Disney. A Disney app had problems, you know.
I think, they worked out the glitches, I think, and all that. But that was smart of them because they knew, like, any movie that has something at the end, they're like, they give you the option to skip credits. They don't do it on the shows, I don't think. Or maybe they do, I can't remember. But I remember the shows have some stuff where if you actually let it play through, and it's not every episode. Like, so if you watch WandaVision, there's, like, teasers for the next episode if you actually play all the way through.
Yeah. Like, why? So. Was it weekly or something at one point?
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, why? Like, I just watched it straight through.
Yeah. If you were watching weekly, which a lot of people were because they had, you know, if you got the, for example, like if you got that free trial and then you did it then, if you like that first episode, you're like, yeah, I'll pay $8 for the next episode.
It's not bad for the
selection. I mean, HBO just has to worry about people subscribing to watch Godzilla versus Kong. And then unsubscribing, you know. But like they just so they're gonna keep on their going. Part, they need to have something on the horizon at all times. You gotta have something to like me. I accidentally still have Hulu. I did it for a month. We watched all of A Handmaid's Tale, fucking every season of it. We blasted through it, and I was like, "All right, I'm gonna cancel this shit." And I forgot, so I paid for it. So throughout the entire month of March, I haven't even been watching Hulu. But now April 25th or something like that, I think it is, a Handmaid's Tale comes back. So I have to keep Hulu.
Yeah, because you're like, well, why would I get rid of it?
I paid for it for anyway. No reason this month. You know, whatever. But yeah, so as long as they have something on the horizon, like Hulu's biggest thing is a Handmaid's Tale, I think, or it's one of their
That's so goddamn good.
You know, Letterkenny?
Yeah. They got to so keep good. Producing promising material.
If you ever get a chance,
we'll drop it.
If you ever get a chance, it'll piss you off a little bit just because of the historical aspect of it. It's just angry to, as an American, to watch. The Looming Tower is an incredible series they did with Jeff Daniels, I believe is it? Yeah, and he's like the guy who's in charge of like the investigation into like the terrorists around 98, 99, 2000. And so it follows the progress of them like chasing Al-Qaeda and then everything that leads up to 9/11. And like, ooh, buddy.
You don't think as much about like what happened just prior to. You think a lot about like how we responded afterward. You know,
it's
really interesting, like everything that probably led up to it.
And they do like the stuff
behind closed doors.
Yeah. They do like the redacted from the stuff that got released recently where they unredacted a bunch of files. They like put some of that information into the show. It's really well done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just looking at the numbers, by the way. HBO Max is number two on apps for entertainment, only being beat by TikTok.
Oh, shit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The Zoomer Energy.
Third is Peacock TV, which has The Office. Fourth is Netflix. Fifth is Amazon. Sixth is Hulu. And seventh is Disney Plus. Those are the...
They're going to have ups and downs, and other than the initial lull, they haven't experienced the downside of it yet. So you don't know what changes you'll see in subscription costs, and next thing you know, a big movie will come out, and they will charge you. Like, it's always subject to change. You know, Netflix are always facing like big deficits, from what I've heard, you know, because they all the money they make, they pump into all their new material, all the Netflix originals and stuff like that. And then people go on there and they watch that, whatever it is, it'll be the new...
Bone deleted.
The new fucking Ozark. Me and Allie are waiting for that. We're going to go on there, we're going to watch it in two fucking days. And then, like, if we're like half the people, we would just delete it, you know? Or what we'll do is we'll go and watch if The Office were on there or something. We'll your fucking, your basic... Let me throw this on all day, every day, and not have to think type of thing.
Right.
You
know? I think.
Right.
Well, with before, HBO Max is number eight of all time, of not all time, but of all apps being downloaded.
That's quick.
Netflix is 15. Mm-hmm. The closest one is Peacock at 9.
Really?
But it's only getting beat by, I'm just going to name it off, Google Maps, Messenger, Facebook, Snapchat, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube.
So apps that come preloaded on your phone. Right.
Yeah.
So like stuff that if you get a new phone, that's what you download.
By the way, and they're putting a lot of money into it, so you've probably seen the ad. That fucking they just
put out it's beating Gmail.
They just put out a John Wayne Gacy documentary. They just put out a John Wayne Gacy documentary on Peacock, and you get the first episode free, and then they make you pay for the rest.
Oh, okay.
So
I don't like that. I hate that setup.
But man, I'll be honest, it's pretty fucking good.
Yeah,
like if you're a fan of serial killer shit and John Wayne Gacy, the fucking promo for it is just his face with the makeup on.
Yeah, you're like the clown, Pogo the clown.
Fuck.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So that if you're done watching The Office for the 900th time, watch that Gacy documentary.
Declare
and have some nightmares.
Bankruptcy.
You can't just declare bankruptcy.
No, you can't just say that. I didn't say it. I declared it.
Yeah.
Netflix fucked up. I mean, they tried to pay $500 million to keep that show.
Yeah.
And they lost that bid.
I feel like Netflix has the best original
Shane,
material.
Speaking of the microphone, please, Shane.
He is the producer. He knows what he's.
That's why I did it. It's
funny. They've
had a lot of ground to cover. But if you compare originals to each other, HBO Max is obviously way better.
Well, you got to think about the fact that...
Okay, like, Game of Thrones, Sopranos, The Wire, Deadwood. Like, all four of those are better than all of Netflix.
Okay, so that's all HBO.
Okay.
I'm talking about Netflix shows that have come out within the last 10 years.
I mean,
I don't remember HBO. Sopranos, that's like 20 years ago it came out.
Hey,
well... you know, True Detective, Game of Thrones, Boardwalk Empire. There's more modern ones HBO's brought out, you know. So
yeah.
There's some good ones, but you got to think about the fact that Netflix keeps fucking upping it, dude. Like, what is it, fucking $16 now? Like,
oh, yeah.
You know, that's not that much. You can get HBO Max for free. You have seen a gradual increase over time of what Netflix is charging, and is that because they need the money because they have so much original material, you know. Their production cost keeps going up, and who knows, you know. Yeah. Well, but also, is one day is Netflix going to be $25? Like,
if you compare it to Prime, though, like a lot of stuff on Prime, if
free
you were
two-day shipping.
If you were okay. not
that comes all with it.
Yeah, true. No, I just mean in the aspect of being a movie watcher. Like, if you're somebody that just, like, watches movies nonstop, they're both pretty good with that. I would say where Prime goes better is that, you know, with Netflix, you don't have the option. If they don't have it, they just don't have it. Prime, 90% of the shit you want to watch, if they don't have it, you can rent it somewhere on Prime.
Correct.
Oh, yeah, you can go to Stars.
That's why over Netflix, Prime is probably my go-to a lot of the time. Yeah. I'd probably click on Prime before I'd click on Netflix because of that, because I watch a lot of obscure shit, and I will pay for something if I have to.
Yeah.
You know? First thing I do is look it up on my phone and see what it's streaming on, but like, I'll go to Prime more quickly than I will Netflix, now that The Office isn't on there.
I use the shit out of Stars.
Stars is good.
Yep. Yeah, and HBO. Like,
Stars has some good old school stuff on there. A lot of good old school horror, old school comedy.
And Eastbound and Down, by the way, Shane. Shut the fuck
up. What's up?
Eastbound and Down? I just remember it was another TV show by HBO. I don't know. I'm still on that. Sorry. I'm the one with the ball.
I'm the one that can throw it faster than fuck.
Sorry.
In this order, I go to Amazon Prime first, HBO Max, then Netflix.
Yeah,
Netflix is, unless they, you know, they got to release some Stranger Things or something. I don't know. They're done with Orange and the New Black, right?
Dude, all they gotta say is, "Oh, we're doing another season of Game of Thrones," and the whole world will go fucking ape shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything Game of Thrones. We're bringing out a Game of Thrones movie.
It's the George R.R. Martin cut.
Remake season 8.
Yeah,
release the George R.R. Martin cut of season 7.
HBO Max will just fucking break. It will shatter under the pressure of subscribers.
Yeah, I think one thing that Netflix has going for it, though, in that aspect of, like, actually bringing in money is what they have done. They're doing sort of like what Lionsgate did in the early 2000s with releasing stuff. Like, you can make stuff and then pitch it to them, and they'll put their stamp on it. So they don't have to actually put any money into the production. They buy shit from people, put Netflix original on it, and then make part of their profit. What Lionsgate used to do with horror movies, you know, up until they, you know, when they made Saw.
I think that's how like House of Thousand Corpses ended up in their hands, because like Universal like thought it was, I don't know if like they thought it was too dark or what. It was made on the Universal lot, but Lionsgate ended up releasing it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I don't think that's Universal movie.
Yeah.
So that's where Netflix
But they filmed it on the Universal back lot, like a lot of it.
I mean, I bet if you got out there.
No, that's not for them.
I bet if you got out their spreadsheet.
Hated House of a Thousand Corpses.
I bet if you got out their spreadsheet, though, and you just looked at like how much money they make off of just calling stuff Netflix originals that they had no part of producing, I mean, it's probably like a sizable part of their profit.
Yeah.
It's like, fucking genius, too, from a business perspective. Oh, my God.
You have no liability.
Let's just say Netflix made the last Blockbuster. Like, what a flex move.
Dude. Yeah. For real.
It's like how WWE made the documentary about the WCW. You're like,
exactly. God. You are the reason why they went out of business.
Dude, did you watch it?
I haven't watched it yet. I've actually been on slightly not a kick of documentaries just because I was like feeling something. I was like, nah, fuck all these. All these documentaries.
I'll tell you from our experience with the Little Video Store and just watching them talk about Blockbuster. There's a whole section where they just talk about Blockbuster going and just enveloping every small store they could.
It was a fucking parasite, bro.
Yeah.
They had a chance to be partners with Netflix, and they fucking didn't do it.
Dude, the part they talk about the boardroom meeting where the dude from Blockbuster laughed in their face about Netflix. He was,
because
they were in a fucking protracted war.
Why have I not watched this yet?
They were in an all-out war. Like, Netflix was literally just like, we'll just keep eating costs. We don't care. Like, we're going to keep going. And Blockbuster was like, all right. Okay, Playboy.
Redbox fucking knocked them, and then Netflix fucking finished them off.
Yeah.
Like, it was... I remember when Redbox would come around, I was just like, bro, this is... you got to do something here. Get rid of your late fees. That's one thing.
Yeah. Well,
so...
Return the movie.
Dude, they talk about the late
fees. Get rid of your fucking late fees so I can keep it for 27 days.
Right. Were they interviewing?
For no reason. Scratch the shit out of it and have my cat shit on it. Like, it's like, it's like, no, late fees are in place for a reason.
Dude, when they're people interviewing, like you. They're interviewing the part of that documentary is I'm interviewing people that worked for the actual, like, company, not like these little, you know, subsidiaries, or not like the what are they called? Whatever. But so this is like the CEOs and stuff. So they're talking to one of the guys that work with the CEO, and he goes, so what did you think when they came out with no late fees? And he sits there, it must be like 30 seconds. He just goes,
like he's still, God, I haven't seen it either.
It's like a decade later, and he's still upset. You can see him. He's like, "It was just the dumbest thing anyone could do." He's so upset.
I remember when Blockbuster tried to do the Redbox thing, but you still had to have a membership. You still had late fees. You still had all this. I was like, "Dude, this is just going out of business with extra steps. Like, get the fuck out of here." Like,
well, they cover that and even talk about how they said a lot of that was actually going well because they would go.
Was it?
Yeah. Well, they were still able to make money, but they had so many missteps in their management leading up to that it was just like. Absurd.
Well, they're the only big player on the block in that segment, so it's like you don't have to have great management until somebody else comes along with great management.
Yeah, just having a name out there like Bud Light doesn't have to keep doing commercials, but they do anyway.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I like that you mentioned that they like Blockbuster themselves like wanted to just like go out of their way to consume the little guy, you know, just spread like a fucking plague, you know. Like I want to see them as the menace. Everybody was like reminisces about Blockbuster. Oh, poor Blockbuster, this and that. But like I want to see them like on in aggressive mode. Like fucking swallowing up little video stores.
Hashtag
you know?
Hollywood
it goes both
video.
Ways. It's a dog eat dog world. You know, it's a
there's always a bigger.
It's a video store world.
Did they ever mention Hollywood Video?
I think it gets briefly mentioned. I mean, they don't really.
It's just like fuck you guys.
Well, I think to them it was like yeah, they're. I think it was not even affecting their bottom line really.
Yeah, like, I think it was only like. In certain places, anyways, exactly. It wasn't even worldwide.
We never had one here. I remember being in Orlando.
And
there
was it?
Yeah, there was one in Orlando.
We had a couple of like mom and pop ones around here.
Yeah.
Hollywood Video was in St. Pete. I do remember.
Yeah, we had like Ormond Beach Video. We had Video Time. We had Movie Gallery in Port Orange. Like I remember a Hollywood
Movie
video.
Gallery. Remember that?
That was the first place I ever rented Texas Chainsaw Massacre from, dude. That changed my fucking life, dude. I'm nostalgic about that place because I saw the movie that changed my life. I rented it from there.
I'm not gonna lie, the first system I've ever rented was N64, Video Time.
Yeah.
Video Time, I rented an N64.
I remember starting there.
You can rent
there.
Game systems, bruh.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, and Brian Posehn goes on talking about renting. The first time he said when he was a kid, his parents would go out of town and they'd be like, all right, don't do anything bad. And he's like, I'm not. Go to Blockbuster, just rent a VCR and a stack of tapes.
Like, bro, that was the way it was, man.
Yeah.
You know, awesome. Simpler times. Yeah, now you just steal everybody's Netflix.
Yeah, I miss
or
the smell.
HBO Max now.
The smell.
The smell of Blockbuster.
Somebody made a candle of it.
It always smells like
oh yeah. Like, I'd like to smell that.
Like feet and like popcorn or some shit. Like,
and, yeah, they cut and out just the plastic, feet. Like because they're fucking probably running the goddamn the gun that like you seal the tapes with, like all the just the plastic tapes. Like I think that was a big part of it because it also had like a freshness to it too. It wasn't just feet and popcorn. Like I don't know.
On which one you went to. If you went to the one off of Mason, smell. It had like that real stench to it.
And it was the old carpet in there
because it was next to that Pizza Hut fucking place.
Yeah,
it was definitely that carpet too in there.
Yeah,
you know? I always felt like they partnered up with Pizza Hut because you know every Blockbuster you had there was a Pizza Hut like. Really fucking close. Like,
probably one of the funniest parts of that documentary is them talking about all the dudes who were used to, because before Blockbuster came out, there was small video stores.
Yeah.
And they were talking about how just all of them had porn sections. And so the first time, like, they opened a Blockbuster, these dudes would be, like, walking around looking for the porn section. And it just wouldn't be there. They'd be, like, pushing on the wall.
They'd
like,
just walk out, not say a word. Like, no, we were the last ones that had that shit, man.
Damn right, baby
boy.
That
was popular, too, man. That was everything. That was at least 50% of what I rented throughout the day.
So the funniest part.
I had regulars. I had regulars that would rent from the porn section that I still see to this day. Yeah. Like, around town. And it's like, we just kind of, like, look at each other. It's like, yeah, we won't talk about that.
Quick nod, Fight Club nod. You're like. Yeah, it's funny. So the rules were that you had to have, to sell porn, you had 20% of your, you could, it could be 20% of your store. But they didn't care about how much of it was your actual inventory, but your physical space could only hold 20% of it could be pornographic to not be considered a porno store, to be like an adult store.
Yeah.
So if you went beyond that, it was ridiculous. A problem. And so that's why, so we had this one room in the back and there was like 3,000 movies just shoved in there. Just it was like a lot. Mashed
in
together.
Like everything was pretty well spaced. It was a spacious place. It didn't feel cluttered until you got in there and it's every wall and then there's a middle section too that's a full wraparound middle section.
So it literally, it's funny, it was 20% of the space, but it was 80% of the profit. Like everything was flipped. It was,
it's awesome.
And everybody fucking kept them, dude. You know how many times I had to, it was my job. I had to send people to collections for not fucking, because I've called them 15 times and they won't answer their phone. I would have to send them to collections for not returning their porn.
I wonder if they still, you know.
Meanwhile, I just wanted to watch the porn myself. I was like, please fucking return this. I want to watch Big Boob Sluts 9. Like,
I don't know.
Dude, it was. I remember I used to call people and like, and then I'd see them. I used to remember, I'd be like, I think I have to blackmail these people and give it back. I'd be like, look, man, if I got a call again,
people get pissed at me. Yeah, dude.
Look, if I got a call again and your wife picks up, I'm telling her, bring me this fucking movie. Like, oh, good old days.
Oh, what'd you guys think of Godzilla vs. Kong?
Yeah. Oh yeah, about that.
What'd you guys think of the movie?
I guess we could review it, right?
Yeah.
Real I mean, quick, I guess you know, going back to the whole thing, it's like that movie had to be good, like not necessarily great or you know any sort of Citizen Kane, but it definitely had to be you know worth watching. You know, anybody who's seen 1999's Godzilla understands that you can make a bad. Truly bad Godzilla.
I was young enough to not hate it immediately, but I hate it now. So.
Yeah, it's fucking awful. Like,
same.
And like, there's redeeming qualities about the '99 version, but it's just like, overall, it's just like, what have you done? Like, like, you made Independence Day, Ronald Emmerich. You're about to make The Patriot, and then in between all that, you make Godzilla the remake, and you fuck it up so bad.
At a time where Godzilla was probably very marketable, you know, I just feel like in the late 90s, that's like such a marketable theme to revive.
That's when CGI Godzilla came around.
If you do it right, I mean, and it was a total flop, right? That was like fucking just bomb.
Well, I'll have to look it up. You continue to talk about it, and I'll look up 1998's Godzilla.
Like we talk about it being bad, but I think it also did poorly at the box office too, right? Like,
I'm finding out right now.
Well, they did another thing where it was the same old problem that a lot of these movies have, where there's a larger concept involved. They don't focus enough about what the movie's about, and they go like, it's the where they go too hard on the concept of like, well, what it's really about is the people and like their interactions, what happens within it, and you're like, yeah, that's true to an extent, but if you're doing a movie called Godzilla, you need a fuckload of Godzilla.
Yes.
Like, it's like Pearl Harbor. They're like, they made it 3 hours long, and half the movie is a love story. And you're like, yeah, that's true, but like. Pearl Harbor is like...
We want a historical account of December 7th, 1941. Like, we want to see what fucking happened there that day, you know?
It should have felt more like, I don't know, like that buildup was just not sufficient. Like, you go back and you watch it and you're like, there's so much dialogue that has to do with shit that is not about Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
And you're just like, all right, well, then don't make it 3 hours. If you're going to give me a bullshit love story, then just fucking, then don't waste my time
for
that.
It's definitely not one of my favorite war films. You know, it doesn't even rank anywhere in my top 20.
There's like 20, 40 more movies in existence that are worth watching.
Like I would
probably
rather,
not my top 50. Actually, I don't know. I can keep expanding. It's not.
Like, I would rather go back and watch.
Not a big Ben Affleck fan either.
Yeah,
okay, I was very skeptical about him as Batman. Honestly, but
he did good as Batman though.
Yeah, he did good.
Well, I'll be honest. I only saw him as Batman for the first time in the new Justice League. I didn't see everything leading up. I'm gonna just backtrack and watch it out of order.
But
going into it, like I saw him for the first time in the mask, and I recognized like his jaw. Like I was like, "Oh fuck, here we go, Ben Affleck." And like very almost immediately, within the next 30 minutes for sure, I was like, "Okay, I'm all right with this." You know.
He has a chin for it.
Yeah.
By the way, Godzilla 99 or 98, I guess, earned 300 and God, I already forgot, 358 million, which is apparently adjusted for inflation.
That's fucking huge.
Adjusted for inflation, almost 633 million.
Yeah, no, it did great.
Holy fuck, dude.
15% of Rotten Tomatoes.
I don't know what I was thinking.
Well, but it was a flop considered like critic consensus wise. Like, yeah, it's just like, it fucking.
Hey, they made their money.
It's pregnant. I'm like, what?
It's pregnant.
Well, what you said about it was true though. Was where you said, oh well, it just seemed like the right time to do it, and that's what it was. Like it was the right time to just
like,
put
out. They already had of like Jurassic Park, Armageddon, and stuff like that. Like
the Lost World,
like action that. Flicks were big. You know, Jurassic Park was fucking huge in the Lost World. Yeah, the sequel. Like it was the right time to do it. So
basically, what I said kind of
contradicted itself. It's a great fucking time to release Godzilla, and it flops. Like it doesn't matter that it's a shitty Godzilla. People are gonna go and see it.
Right, exactly. And they also had a huge,
still the longest running franchise of all time.
They had Godzilla. A massive marketing campaign for that movie too. Like that Taco Bell thing.
Dude, like, he sent me a fucking trailer clip that had it on. Yep. It was on the fucking.
Yeah, he was my first ever online order for Ragged Cadavers. So I, at one point in time, I got my hands on this. It was like a little 3D. It's supposed to be like, it claims to be an actual piece of celluloid, a piece of the film from Godzilla or whatever. And you can look at it in the light and see the, you know, whatever. But it's like a promotion. And if you look at it inside, it's got like Kmart advertisements and stuff like that. It's like clearly a late 90s item. It is a vintage item. And I was like, this is fucking cool. Like, I thought about keeping it myself, but then I thought of him. I was like, what can I put in here that would be cool? Just because he was my first order, so I stuffed it with a couple things, and that's threw that in there. You know?
That was sick. I was like, God damn, that's fucking nice. Yeah. I mean, movie is immaculate trash. I'll call it immaculate trash. It wasn't just trash, you know?
It had
the Ronald Emmerich way about it. Right. Like, you know, it's not like Independence Day. Like, that was a fucking good fucking movie. You know, but or The Patriot, obviously. But it's just like, felt like 2012 kind of movie. You know?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
whatever. But did you like Godzilla vs. Kong? Did you like it?
Well, here's how I feel about it.
Okay.
I didn't watch it. But.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Right. I forgot.
Dude, I promised him I'd watch it. I was like, we have a friend's HBO Max.
At least you watched the 4-hour Justice League.
I did. And I think it burnt me out for a minute. I was like, well, I just need to relax and not watch another movie. But like, I was like, Matt, I promise you I will watch this movie because I have nothing else going on, and I got an HBO Max account to use. And he's like, great. And then we just been watching Once Upon a Time, and
That show sucks. Like, it's good, and then it sucks.
I'm on season. We just got to season 3, so we're probably approaching where it's going to get
better. Yeah, no, I actually was big into that show, like, with my girl. We were watching it together, and it just, like,
I think a lot of it's shows are they go one of two ways most of the time.
Uh-huh.
One of three ways. One, it sucks right off the bat. One, it's really good off the bat, but then starts to suck because they lose all momentum, or they're kind of out of, they've gone too far off the reservation, you know. And then the other one is like what happens a lot with like sitcoms, where it'll start kind of rocky. But by like the second or third season, they've kind of like found their characters and the writers, and everything's kind of flowing. Like Parks and Rec is kind of like that. You watch the first couple episodes of Parks and Rec, or even The Office. Like, even though everybody loves the first and second season because it's The Office, they really start to hit a stride once they get into like season 3.
Yeah.
So with sitcoms, it goes that way. I think with stuff like that, the same with like Lost, like the first couple seasons of Lost is like fucking, ooh, it just hits you like,
yeah. Well, you're also like, intrigued. It's experimentation early on, you're relying on ratings, and then like when you see like what's taken off and what reviews and what people are talking about, you like, you just want to like capitalize on that, you know? Yeah.
I'm watching the show called Black Sails about pirates.
I always wanted to watch that, actually.
It started so good.
Yeah.
And now I'm just like, I don't know if I'm going to finish this. I'm in the last season they released, and I'm like,
that's one I always wanted to see. I like, I don't know, like stuff like that that are based on historical fact, but they're completely like historically inaccurate. There's a lot of, it's all fictitious, but it's based on like a way of life or a culture or a place and time, you know?
Is it's like, cool.
I like Vikings a lot. Yeah. I guess the lead character, Ragnar Lothbrok, is supposed to be based on somebody actually, but I know nothing from that show ever actually happened, but it's based on a real people that existed, you know? But like Vikings is the fucking shit. If you've never watched Vikings, you like historical stuff, it was a History Channel show. Dude, loved it. And it's like, it's up there with like, like in the respect of like Game of Thrones, where it's like medieval battle and like axes and just like a, just a simpler way of life. And it's pretty cool.
Nice. Yeah. Well, did you like Godzilla versus Kong?
Oh yeah. About that. I did actually. Yeah. You know, it's those movies, like I'm never going to be like, as on board as Matt is, you know, I know lightly. Like you're super stoked on, like I'm not like the big summer blockbuster CGI movie kind of modern CGI movie kind of guy, you know, like the big monsters movies and the big bangs and the explosions and the superhero, like all that kind of stuff, which is the modern trend and it's where everybody's making the money, so it's not going away, it's the future of movies, you know. It's not me, like I'm on a smaller scale, like what I get the most excited about is probably like a smaller independent Oscar worthy movie that probably won't play ever at a Regal or an AMC ever again, you know. But Matt has been fucking pushing me to watch these movies for so long, and I've had the fucking best week watching them. I've enjoyed every single one of them, you know. So I watched Godzilla. I watched Godzilla King of Monsters. I watched Kong Skull Island. I watched Godzilla versus Kong. And I'm almost done with Justice League. So that has been in the past week. I've watched all these movies. And I've enjoyed every single one of them.
Nice.
Godzilla versus Kong was fucking awesome. I definitely wouldn't say it's necessarily my favorite of all of them. I think I liked Skull Island the most, honestly. It had that old school Vietnam feel. It had all the Creedence and all the cool songs, and it had the most gore, and
it had a good cast. The fucking trees that stomped through it. I swear to God, he saw Cannibal Holocaust.
And yeah, like, dude.
There's no fucking way that he did not take it from it.
That one I ended up enjoying the most, I think. But Godzilla versus Kong was, it was super satisfying. Fine, dude. By the end of the movie, when they're in Hong Kong, that final battle, the only thing I can compare it to is like the 4th of July, like at times 1,000 or something. It's like watching that on a small screen. God forbid, I can't imagine what it's like to see it on IMAX. It was like literally like it was like watching the 4th of July. It was just fireworks. It was just neon and just like. If you watch that and you're just like, I didn't fucking like it, it's like, fuck you, dude. Yeah. Just fuck off. Like,
fucking Junkie XL soundtrack too.
If you didn't enjoy it, you can say it's not your kind of movie. What I'm saying is it's not my kind of movie.
Yeah.
But if someone were to look at me and be like, yeah, there's sheer no entertainment value in that, I'd be like, just go fucking kill yourself.
I think why it works so well is because it is what it is. Like, it doesn't try to do anything crazy with the plot, like it doesn't try to like subvert anything. Like, the movie's about Godzilla and about Kong and about their combat together and their world together. So it's, I really like how they didn't try to do too much exposition.
It got a little crazy with the Hollow Earth thing, but in a good way.
Yeah, but it furthered the plot. It wasn't just like some
furthered the universe that it was supposed to. Like, it's these movies are supposed to lead into like destroy all monsters type.
Yeah.
You know, like there was a. There's only two universes that really, I feel like, have worked in the past 10, 20 years now, and that's the MCU and the MonsterVerse. Like, you know, DC has really kind of, I mean, I'll call it the Snyderverse, which I actually particularly like. But, like, in an overall, like, you know, broad people who enjoy these movies. This is like, you know, like the two universes I can think of, like the Conjuring universes. Like it gets too convoluted.
Yeah, they try to do,
you
know, way
you're
too
just
much.
Like, what the fuck with this Annabelle shit? You know, or
it's terrible.
There's another one with the fucking The Nun. Fuck that fucking yeah. movie.
We don't want spinoffs. The Nun yeah. was like a character in The Conjuring, and we don't need a whole fucking new series based on just that.
Yeah.
By the way, that scared the shit out of me in The Conjuring, and I've had yeah. three nightmares recently about fucking about Valak, dude. About Valak, that scared the. I thought it was scary as shit, but I don't want to see a Nun spinoff or an Annabelle spinoff yeah. where somebody else gets their hands on it. Some unknown independent director gets to fucking direct it, and all creative original creative value goes out the window. You know, exactly. I fucking hate that. So that's what I hate about horror movies. I hate it.
Do you know what's funny? You said about the Hollow Earth thing, and I just thought how funny it would be is like at the end of that, like they make a whole series, and the very last Godzilla movie, they reveal that it's a flat Earth, and you're like, Jesus Christ! Like,
here we go again. And Christopher Columbus sails up, and like
be a bold movie. The only thing I really like, I loved Godzilla.
He's like, oh, as a matter of fact, it is flat.
The only thing that I really particularly don't like, because I'm a Godzilla fan, you know, I was Team Godzilla all the way. The movie made you want to be Team Kong the entire fucking time. Oh, I'm just like, so God damn.
So it's biased.
Yeah. Well, at the end, spoiled it for you. Kong loses.
All right, which one's a liberal and which one's a Democrat?
You know what? It's super non-woke.
I mean, a Democrat and a Republican.
It's super non-woke.
I know, like, but just for fun.
Mechagodzilla is a Republican.
Jesus.
just for fun. Which one?
I couldn't even put it, like, they're both, like, I guess Godzilla is the alpha, like, and that's the funny thing about these movies, like, Godzilla and Godzilla vs. Kong, it's just looking for just fucking fighting, like, he's a fucking Nate Diaz of fucking monsters, like, he's just like, I'll
kick
anybody.
He just pulls up, dude, like, it's honestly hilarious.
Like, during the movie, it's just like, if we bring him out here, Godzilla will come for him. I'm just like, what is he's just always looking for a fight.
Yeah, he's just gonna find somebody else.
At all times. Like, there's in the middle of the movie where Mechagodzilla, like, puts out his fucking, like, you know, what have you, and Godzilla's just like, turn around.
At the end, you don't think Godzilla would have fucking started fighting again, dude, if he didn't throw the axe down? Yeah. Like,
Godzilla's the dude that when the fight's all broken up and he's walking away, and somebody goes, hey, you better turn around. What?
That's exactly how Godzilla acts. He's just like, yep. You know, yep. And the whole smile thing. Yeah, I didn't like that.
I don't like that either.
Yeah, you saw it. So yeah. I was just like, even the director talked about it. We had to get creative. I was like, you shouldn't even have done it. Like,
don't
you shouldn't.
It almost ruined the movie. That fucking reptile look like it smiles.
Yeah.
Like, intentionally deciding to smile.
Yeah, I was just like, bro, that's why Death Note sucks. Like, fuck off with, you know, just stick to the lore. Because that was one of the biggest things that Toho was like, you can't not have Godzilla show emotion. Like, that's one of the biggest things. He's like, well, we had to get creative.
I don't agree. I disagree.
So
we had to get creative for what? It was already...
that's what I'm
Kong
thinking.
Kong is a different story. Kong is he's a primate. Like he has to be relatable to the human species. Like, he has to be able to show emotion. But, like, Godzilla, like, he's reptilian, man. Like, he doesn't have to show emotion.
He's cold-blooded.
He's fucking cold.
He's cold-blooded. He's always looking to kick somebody's ass.
Maybe if they had him do, like, a glowy thing or something instead of a smile.
Yeah.
Just be like, all right, I'll fucking zap you.
They just go the other way with it, where they have him just, like, say a one-liner.
Oh, my God. But his roar was, you know, it was same.
Sounded great.
Yeah. It's just, like, everything, just, like, they just, he kicked his fucking ass, bro. Like, Kong had no fucking chance.
Oh, the giant monkey lost to the dinosaur?
Let's talk about logic. Oh,
the laser beam.
Let's talk about logic. Kong would have fucking been dead in seconds.
Fucked him up.
Kong would have been staying. Spoilers. He would have been going in for a punch, and he would have just fucking blasted him with his blue fire, and he'd be dead. That's it.
I did like him fucking sticking his that handle in his fucking mouth. They're like, oh,
yeah, like the back end of it. Yeah.
You know, and it was all really. It was very well choreographed. All the fights were super intense.
Oh my God, the first encounter. Oh. That was like this all in the ocean.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Like getting Kong spinning, completely out of his fucking
hand.
Yeah.
Bites
yeah.
his fucking hand. He's bringing him down to like, I was like, dude, he's going to fucking drown him. Yeah. He's probably going to eat him. I don't know what he's going to do.
I mean, this is so sick.
Kong's life, man, that's fucking tough, man. Godzilla can just fucking bail and be like, all right, I'm going into the ocean again. And just fucking just dive into the depths. Kong is just like, he's either in the ocean or he's in the fucking Arctic. Like, he's in a place where he's way too cold or like he's, it's just like physically Kong's life was such a fucking struggle throughout the movie, yeah. man. Like,
I get it. I, you know, that whole like, you wanted to feel bad for him during the whole movie and, yeah. and you almost wanted him to win. I'm just like, no, that's not how these movies go. Like, it should be like they just so happen to have fight each other, you know, rather than just what have you. But, yeah. I didn't want to feel bad for me rooting for Godzilla because he's our fucking boy. Like he's a protector, bro.
Yeah, he was a savage, bro. I didn't feel bad at all rooting for Godzilla.
When he dislocated Kong's shoulder, like I was just like, oh shit, motherfucker. He just fucking face palms him into a fucking skyscraper. I'm just like, bro. But it didn't even phase him. He just goes and just rips his arm and throws him, dislocates his shoulder, and stomps on him. And he's just like, I'm gonna fucking kill you, bro. You know?
Why don't they fucking fight dirty, dude? Like, pluck each other's eyeballs out or something. Like, do something gnarly. Like, fight dirty. Boss. You're fucking titans. Like,
how did you feel about the CGI in the movie?
I was impressed for the most part. Yeah. Like I said, specifically that last scene, that last battle, I mean, where it was like the fucking 4th of July. You know, it was just all the neon and stuff. That was such a cool creative decision for it to take place there with that type of lighting and stuff combined with Godzilla's like blue flame and everything. It was like a decision that I feel like if I were making it, it was something I would have thought of. Yeah. You know, just the way they lit it.
What movie looked the best? What would you say like Godzilla looked fucking the best at? Like,
Bryan Cranston one.
That was he was only in it for 8 minutes too.
Maybe like, that's Godzilla. Why it's so good. They didn't have enough time to shoot it bad.
It's tough, man. I'd have to watch it like multiple times, like you probably have, to be able to differentiate between whether he looked better specifically in King of Monsters or Godzilla versus Kong.
I'm gonna say King of Monsters. He looked just way sicker.
I liked the CGI more in King of Monsters when the sky is fucking lit up and you got aircraft everywhere and you've got a fucking three-headed Ghidorah over here and you got a fucking volcano erupting with Rodan over here. Like, it was just like that whole overwhelming, like all the Titans are rising at once. Like that to me was the most iconic, memorable CGI from any of the movies.
Yeah,
when all that shit, the whole sky was erupting with Titans. Like, the Rodan better than anything in the newest movie.
I say the Rodan scene is the best of the entire MonsterVerse. Like when he fucking flaps his fucking wings around all those spiders. Like
he just starts spinning, like doing a tunnel.
Like you see him adapting to his like he's like, oh, this guy was trying to fuck me up. But like boop boop, and, you know, he slaps him with his fucking wings. Like I just like. It was just so sick, like, and in the end, you know, it was just when fucking Godzilla puts Ghidorah through a fucking skyscraper, like, you know, when you see it in Godzilla versus Kong versus Godzilla King of the Monsters, it's like it feels epic, but when it just like it doesn't feel like the destruction's more minimal.
I don't know what it is about Kong that's harder to believe CGI wise because it's primate, because it's like. Reptilian is so much more like foreign to us, or I don't know what it is, but like Kong CGI doesn't look as good to me as Godzilla CGI.
I really think
I don't know what it is. Kong is too relatable.
I think humanized like, you him
look
too
at
much.
It, the close-ups of his face, and you could almost be looking at a human face.
Yeah, I think
they
humanized
it. It's tough. Mm-hmm. It'd be like if you tried to CGI a human being, it'd be similar. You know?
How'd you feel about Mecha Godzilla?
Looked fucking awesome and just a cool dynamic, you know. So you could almost argue that the human beings could potentially have been the apex predator on their own because had all the potential to defeat either one of them on their own.
Yeah.
You know?
He was fucking up Godzilla. I was just like, this sucks.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on.
Really fucking cool, man. And yeah. I remember that concept like vaguely as a kid. You know, I was kind of into these movies as a kid a little bit. And it was just cool.
Yeah.
It was a great concept. And I didn't fuck around. Like, he immediately just has a mind of his own and is just a fucking like menace, you know? Like,
yeah.
I liked him like creeping up behind him, like behind the glass. Like, that reminded me of like the fucking T Rex from Jurassic Park or something like that. Like, I don't know. It was cool.
A lot of things remind you. Remember in King of the Monsters where Ghidorah lands in Fenway Park and you see, you know, Millie Bobby Brown try to take the orca out, and you just see Ghidorah's eye. I'm like, that's Jurassic Park.
Yeah, dude, for
sure. That's all Jurassic
Park. Gets up, like, looking, like, when they're in the car, and they, like, holding the fucking glass, like, upside down in the car.
I was like, that is, if that's not a direct Jurassic Park move right there,
yeah.
I don't know what the fuck is. So, yeah. But, you know. Hey, do you like that we spoiled that movie for you there, bud?
Look, I hate to put it this way, but I knew that some monsters were going to fight and beat the shit out of each other. Really, I don't mean to belittle, but I'm still going to enjoy
it. He's got a point.
He does have a point. So.
Still going to enjoy it, but
no, I get you.
Probably going to watch. Well, I'm going to watch it tomorrow if I end up not having to work.
I'm calling out tomorrow if my headache doesn't go away. So, can watch it at my house, bro.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah, motherfucker.
Get a headache, what'd you have? 6 beers? I've had like fucking 15 today.
Dude, I've been fucking going crazy. But, well, I mean, what do you... The future of the movies is bright right now. It was pretty glum for a while. We got Mortal Kombat coming. You know, which I'm excited about. I want to see it. It's rated R. It's what have you.
But remember we thought we were going to get that one like a decade ago? Remember they made that fucking killer trailer? JP was obsessed with it. He was like, look at this fucking trailer. It's so badass.
It's like a Mortal Kombat Legacy or something like that.
It was a really well-made trailer that made you think like, oh shit, this is so well-made that they're going to do it.
Yeah. Like the Uncharted thing, dude. Uncharted, if you're not a fan of video games, Uncharted is a video game series like Indiana Jones-esque. And now they started making a movie franchise out of it.
I'm actually looking forward to Mortal Kombat. For sure.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the first series. One. And the second
I
one's
would
a,
like the first one.
Second yeah. one's a guilty pleasure just because it's just, you know, still continues that lore. But
it's been so long since I've seen the first one. Isn't the first scene of the movie like he's fighting Scorpion like in those fucking trees, like in the forest or something?
Yeah, Johnny Cage is fighting the
I just remember like bits and pieces, but I haven't seen that since I was like fucking a that kid
fight in the forest,
but I used to really off, like dude. That movie that
the first one still off, holds
yeah.
up
yeah
the first one holds up dude like yeah. it really does
I remember I bought it like on the spot I think at Walmart or something like that and I was just like fucking so stoked when I first saw it
and it's just got that the Mortal Kombat they yeah. kept that for the new theme. He kept the same guy's voice.
They need to bring that music back, though.
What, once the show's over, I'll show you. They have the new theme out.
I don't like it.
It's okay. It's just it's
dubstep. It's
like oh, okay. Step. Well, the '90s one is pretty techno. So
yeah, I not all techno is the same.
That's true.
Yeah,
I can't argue
opinions,
that.
Opinions. I just.
No, we'll decide after the show.
They should have fucking got Motorhead to play the theme. Yeah. But bring Lemmy back from the dead.
Just like Mortal Kombat.
I don't know what he said, but it felt like Mortal Kombat.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, we didn't get too much into Justice League. We tackled it. You know, it's a good fucking movie. We really enjoyed it. Shane didn't. It's okay that he didn't get to say what he wanted to say, how much he hated that fucking movie.
I didn't hate it as much as he's saying, but.
No. You said you hated it.
Matt's a very extreme.
No, person. I said it's a. For me.
That's a hate. It sounds like you'd never get
to. That's a dislike.
It's okay. Of everything I've watched so far, Justice League hooked me the most. because, like I said, it's got so much backstory and development, and it's such a wide-spanning concept that it reminded me of, like, a Peter Jackson film, you know?
Yeah,
like,
Dark Side looks fucking sick.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah, I liked his little razor blade fit.
Yeah.
Or Steppenwolf's little razor blade fit. I was like, that's pretty sick. Like, how it moves around and shit. I was like,
oh, yeah.
Like, have you
seen? It looks pretty good, you know?
But my biggest thing is I got tired of the CGI Palooza.
But there's like when it cuts to like battle sequences where it's like, all right, men and fucking Aquaman, whatever they call them, and Amazonians, like they all banded together to fight.
The fight
Darkseid.
Ares comes up with a fucking
wind. So I'm watching Lord of the Rings right now. Yeah. So of course I've enjoyed it.
Throw in the original Green Lantern in there.
Yeah.
So Ares and Zeus, like they were gods.
It was like when elves and dwarves and men were fighting fucking Sauron, you know. And I'm a huge Lord of the Rings fan. So I just like that sort of fantasy lore aspect to it.
Yeah, it was. I fucking loved every second of it. It didn't feel like 4 hours. I loved it. I loved that fucking movie. I watched it twice. I watched it twice in the same week. And honestly, you know, I'm just Godzilla vs. Kong got more views than Snyder Cut during its first week.
Because nobody wants to watch a four-hour movie.
Exactly. They want to watch 2 hours
of There's a reason why I watched Godzilla vs. Kong first, because I didn't have 4 hours to watch a movie.
Yeah.
Can't watch it at night. Go to sleep.
Yeah.
You can't really watch it in the day. You got to work.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, you're right. You can't just bring out a sixth of your day to watch a movie.
I'm home from work. Tell the kids to leave me alone. I need to watch this movie.
I mean,
it's 5 o'clock. I'm going to just watch the Snyder Cut for the rest of the day.
I'm the ultimate testament. I had a busy ass night last night. I was tired as fuck. So I watched Godzilla versus Kong because that was approachable under 2 hours. Woke up this morning, had plans during the day, got to watch 3 hours of Justice League, and then came here. So like,
Did you even watch the final battle?
No. I'm going home to watch it now. Nice. Can't fucking wait.
Bro, they lose. No, I'm just kidding.
I told you, I left off with Superman's resurrection.
So he hasn't... He's
nothing. He just fucking flew away with her.
You mean Mary Sue's resurrection?
No, right?
Mary Sue.
I'm just kidding. Kinda.
I don't get it.
Okay, so Mary Sue is a fictional character that, you know, denotes a strong female character that comes and saves all the guys.
But as in when people start losing, here comes Superman. So Lois Lane
shows up and is like, wait, Clark.
Yeah.
Like before he destroys all of them, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, that's a good thing that happened. Yeah. Because he was about to. Woo!
Batman was dead. For sure. Yeah.
That's why. That's what makes DC fans the fucking goofiest. If you think that DC is better than Marvel, that's fine to have your opinion. But if your reasoning is the whole Batman and Superman fight, it's fucking silly. I will never, ever concede this. It's absurd. They're like, oh, he put the kryptonite in his fist. He's got laser eyes. That's it. Doesn't even need to use his super strength, super speed. He's got laser eyes. Batman's a bitch.
Yeah.
He literally says it in the movies. What's your superpower? He's like, I'm rich.
I'm rich. Yeah. And then he fucking speeds off on the interstate. I thought that was good. He cuts off another car and they honk at him. Yeah.
I was like, that was in good taste.
Yeah, it was. It really was. I'm rich. Because it's so true.
Yeah. It's fun for like the, you know, theoretical have a fun time with your comic book. Like they have versions of Marvel where like Punisher kills everybody.
Yeah.
Which is pretty dope. It's like a whole series where it's just like every comic is him killing a different superhero. And at the very end he kills Thanos. It's fucking cool. The probability of it happening, not great. But it's fun.
It is awesome.
No, you ain't wrong.
I mean, Batman ruling Gotham and killing bad guys, that's one thing. But yeah, when you get in the Superman universe and stuff like that, it's like you really have to fucking suspend disbelief.
Yeah.
Yep.
When you watch Batman vs. Superman, you'll find that out.
All right. That's next.
You probably should have watched that first, but that's okay.
Yeah, I know.
It's fine.
I mean, in the beginning of Justice League, you find out what happens to Superman, so.
I already knew. That got spoiled for me, like, fucking week one when that movie came out, so that didn't mean anything to me.
Right, I guess that's true. So.
Why did you say her name?
If Godzilla vs. Kong ended that way, I would have been like, why'd you say Mothra? Why did you say that?
Mothra's WB. The shit, by the way. Anybody wants to talk shit about Mothra? Yo, they got a problem with me.
Fuck yes, bro.
Yeah. Fucking love that ultimate sacrifice. She knew that she was going to die. She gave all of her being to resurrect Kong, and he fucking went burning Godzilla and fucked that bitch up. Fucking stomped through that lightning and ate him. He burped, and there was a little bit of yellow there.
Drank the blood.
Yeah.
I think we hit 2 hours.
I think we're there. I think we're done here. First episode in the books here of Resurgence Average Joe Movie Show in the new studios.
Back, baby.
Back me. At it again.
Dude, it's pumped. I'm pumped up. We're ready to go. I'm ready for another episode in a couple weeks. So, I think it's time to end this one.
Buy Drew's pins. If you don't, you're wrong.
If you don't,
Ragged
buy them later.
Cadavers, baby.
Ragged Cadavers. You can put
that shit up on Instagram. Ragged_cadavers got new shit coming out this week.
Shout out to Ragged Cadavers.
Pressure wash your driveway or something.
Call Zach because he is hurting for money.
He's a ragged cadaver right
now. I'm doing fine, but I could use the extra. So, yeah, hit me up.
Exactly. No, I'm doing fine.
I've been doing fine since not pouring all my money into a t-shirt company.
it's funny how that works.
Also, other movies that should include are Boss Level on Hulu. If you don't fucking watch it, it's kind of your loss if you don't like just that Groundhog Day kind of video game-esque movie. It's really, really fucking good. Frank Grillo is reliving a day where he dies at least 200 times and tries to figure out why he's stuck in this time loop. It starts right in the middle of it. You're kind of in like... What's that when you find...
Boss Level?
Yeah, it's called Boss Level. It's on Hulu. It's under 2 hours. It's actually an hour and 36 minutes. And it's just straight, just action. It's just all it is. The guy who made Smoke and Aces has made this movie. It's fucking amazing. It's just super. It's really good. Okay. You know, I definitely recommend you watch it. So,
and what's the other one coming out that I really want to see? It's got
Mortal Kombat.
No, the dude who's. It might already be out. The Bob Odenkirk, who is usually a comedian, but he's...
Nobody.
Yeah, Nobody. I still haven't seen it.
I've been wanting to see it. Did have it, but it's like... It's supposedly pretty good as well, so...
And it's coming out in theaters only, right?
I think. Nah, it's supposed to be on demand soon, probably within the next few weeks.
Oh, shit. Okay. So... Yeah, I really want to see that. Next time we have an episode, I'll be talking about that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's already out.
Yeah, is it? VOD? So... I'll probably order it some
box office is at 21 million.
I think the movie was made for under 10.
16 million total. Yeah. So not bad.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to mention, just because I haven't watched much lately, I couldn't think of the name of it. Two Distant Strangers. It's a short film that's on Netflix right now. It was one of the 5 short films I saw at the Enzian, and I think it was mine and Allie's favorite.
Okay.
Pretty interesting. When you mentioned Groundhog Day, it made me think of that. It's pretty interesting. Just check it out. I won't say much about it. It's just got kind of a Groundhog Day concept where no matter what a man does, he consistently keeps ending up in the same unfortunate circumstances where a cop keeps shooting him.
Huh.
Like no matter what he does, he's getting murdered by this cop hundreds of times. It's crazy. Yeah.
Sounds
interesting.
Good. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait for the next show because it's not going to be 6 months from now. All right. That's the end. Let's do it. We'll see you in a couple weeks there, bud.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, everybody. Bye. We got to pee. Bye.
Bye, sickle.